become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Foxy Lady.
Shit off.
Maybe you didn't hear what I said. I said turn that shit off.
Yeah. Okay, come on. Let's go.
Get out of here.
You really scare me.
Looks pretty tough, Glenn. Think you can handle him, buddy?
Come on, hit me.
Who is this kid? You're too young and too little for me to execute.
Then don't give me shit.
Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Hey, no, don't ignore me. I know what this is.
Within 1 hour, you'll each have 20 dates.
Well, you just quit whining like a bitch.
I'm not whining like a bitch.
You are whining like a bitch. Man, you about to cram like 10 years of pimpage into one day.
I don't want
to
cram that bitch.
Partner, after that, you on my level. Come on.
And you are Gina?
Gina. Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
Look, I'm going to be real honest with you. It's been a long time since I've been with a man. Spent a lot of time with the ladies. Looking to get back up on that pogo stick. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me?
You're a good-looking man.
Thank you.
Very pretty. Real soft, delicate features. They're real feminine, you know, which is good for me because that would be a simple sort of transition. You know what I'm saying? Maybe throw a little rouge on ya. Tuck your sack back. You game?
No.
No intention of inviting them over here for drinks or anything else. Let's just put it down to the fact that I'm a bad neighbor, all right? That as soon as they understand that, everyone will get along fine. That's good. What is that?
Hummus.
What is?
Hummus.
Some sliced vegetables, a side of hummus. A homicide.
Hi, Trish. Oh, man. I'm really sorry about tonight.
What's this?
Oh, those are David's. I think he has a problem.
These are David's.
He's into that.
David's Boner Jams 03?
Yeah. God, it's so sad. He compiled all the best boner scenes, I guess. This isn't what it looks like, okay?
What does this look like?
A vagina.
And what do you do with this vagina?
To learn. It's for medicinal purposes. Ugh. Hey, I'm sorry. God.
What's this? Is your date drug? Your roofie?
It's a Mentos. They're the fresh maker.
Yeah, right.
Yeah! Everyone, I am the J-Strom, and it's Friday. That means it's time for Entertainment Landfill. Yes, thank you very much. Entertainment Landfill, home of film, television, and pop culture. Welcome to the show. I don't do the show alone. I also do it with Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Hello, Steven.
What's going on?
What's up, man? What's up, foo? We also got Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. What up, Bill?
Hey, chuckleheads.
What's
up, Bill?
Oh, that's kind of weak. Wait.
That's still weak.
See, you know, because Arsenio is gone now, we can steal that, Bill.
I don't know if that's something we want.
I know.
Remember, he only lasted a year after doing it again.
The sad thing is when they tried to keep doing things that worked in the past, in the early 90s.
Did he have a dog pound?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Didn't even remember that.
I just remember his studio.
The only dog pound I know
so
is the Cleveland Browns.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome to Mulberry, home of Entertainment Landfill. Here at our studios, Bill. Nice pine wood fixtures and
Pine wood?
Simulated pine wood.
Simulated. It's all Naga hide here.
Naga hide? Wow. How does that work?
Yeah, it's like...
We found the Naga beast finally and
yeah,
killed it.
Naga hide furniture and stuff. And it's everything's from IKEA also.
I didn't know they had fake leather at IKEA.
Yeah, yeah. It's not actually IKEA. It's like an IKEA knockoff.
Wow.
It's Crikeya.
Crikeya?
Yeah.
Crikeya.
Yeah, and the meatballs are horrible there.
Oh.
I'd rather get them at IKEA, because those are real Swedish meatballs.
And we don't know what the meat is in these Crikeya meatballs.
I'm pretty sure. Horrors. Pretty sure it's some kind of Nuna meat.
What the hell is Nuna meat?
From Tatooine.
Are you sure it's not Ronto meat?
It is Ronto meat. No, it's Jawa meat. Even worse.
Minock meat?
Oh, man. A Minock is really good at certain times of year.
Yeah, but it can be really tough if you don't cook it right.
That is true. It's really gamey, but you just got to get like the right – you got to cook it right.
Well, you know, the gaminess, that's the wildness. That's when you eat it, it makes you feel like one with nature.
Yeah. You know, it's like, do you ever know those people who like, we got some deer meat in the freezer. You guys want some of that? Stick around? It's like, nah, man.
Hey, you got some deer jerky.
Deer jerky, yeah.
It's like kids, growing up in the country, be like, hey, what's that in your GoBots thermos there, bud? Oh, that's deer chili. You want some?
That's so funny. No. Like, you go to school with some kid and he just talks a little bit about something and you're like, oh, he's one of them hillbillies.
Oh, God, instantly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like venison. Venison is tasty, or at least it can be. Sometimes you get a nasty one and it's a little funky. But it's not bad. It's just that the people that tend to eat it the most are the people that, well, you know what? They just like to kill. They like to kill deer, and they're psychopaths.
I like to kill deer.
That guy.
I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer.
Oh, my gosh. He really does.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bill, I got to tell you about last night.
Do you?
I went to, yes, I do. I went to Riff Tracks. Which, you know, we've all been to those before, the Riff Tracks events, but this time it was different. I took Emma with me.
And she didn't go to any of the prior ones?
No, not really into those, sir. I think she's just at the right age because she really wanted to go see Sharknado.
Oh, I think who doesn't?
Last time we were at the movies, you know, they showed
the last one wasn't appropriate with,
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers, yeah. But, and I was like, I wonder if she'll like Sharknado or if it'll be too bloody. But I just, you know, it aired on television on Sci-Fi. How bad could it be?
And I'm sure it was terribly bloody, but it's that fake blood.
She would look away at blood and she goes, I'm not scared. It's just disgusting. And I was like, yeah, I gotcha. It is disgusting.
I know. It's really tough looking at Ian Ziering.
Yeah. I gotta look away. He's so hideous.
What is wrong with Tara Reid's face?
You know, there's one thing they do at these Riff Track events where before the show starts, they do a little slideshow of funny slides or whatever.
Sure.
Some of them I don't agree with. They're like making fun of Avatar and stuff like that.
Yeah, some of them are just trying too hard.
They're very pandery
You know,
they're
pandering, but they play, there's a very fine line between parody music and just plain awful. Like,
yes.
Good parody music is something like Weird Al Yankovic, where you could listen to it and laugh and kind of listen to the lyrics.
Are you leading up to the fact that the music they do is awful?
It's god awful. It makes
it's not even funny.
What makes you want to blow your brains out, basically.
Yeah, it's like that one where Kevin Murphy sings, like, When You're in Love with a Tuna or something. I don't even know what it is, but they play it every time.
Yeah, they do. And it's the sound in the theater, it's like too trebly, too much treble, and it's too loud. And it hurts your ears.
Yeah. It's that feed, that tinny, it's done over the internet. It's not like they beam it over a satellite or something like that.
And you know what happened? They did a film short at the beginning. Something about springs and this little coily guy. Hey, I'm coily! You know, this guy goes, I wish springs were never invented. And he goes, you be careful what you wish for! And it
shows everything that would happen if springs didn't
exist. Screen went black.
Oh.
And everyone in the theater's like, what happened? And all of a sudden you saw no signal appeared on the screen.
Yep.
And I was like, oh. And Emma was like, what happened? And I go, they lost the signal. This has happened before. Let's just wait. I remember Jack the Giant Killer when we went to that. It happened like 4 times during the movie. It was so annoying. Luckily, this only happened once, but it is still annoying.
Yeah.
But luckily, it came back in time for the tour de force that is Sharknado.
Ugly.
And Emma was giggling nonstop. She was just really just losing it. And she goes, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh, okay. And she jumped up and ran away. She gets so mad at me for me telling this, by the way. But when she came back, you know, she was laughing. Everything's fine. But after the movie, she said that she was laughing so hard, she thought she was going to pee her pants. And I was just like, I've been there. It's been like on our show before. You know, I've had to pee real bad. And then we start laughing. It's like, I got to go.
Got to go right now.
We had a good time. And I saw it with Laura, Severin, my dad, and my nephew Gage.
Oh my God, your dad and Gage went. Wow.
Yeah, it was a packed house. And
did you all sit at the back?
We sat right in the middle.
Okay.
For Riff Tracks, it's differently. Maybe we should have sat in the back because the sound was so harsh, especially whenever Kevin Murphy was talking loud. It kind of like I went because my ears hurt, you know? But, I would say, 50% was really like cheesy jokes, too cheesy to laugh at, and 50% was pretty funny.
I just have such a hard time with Riff Tracks. There's just, I know, I've gone into it before. I just feel like they're like a pale imitation of Mystery Science Theater 3000 or what they once were.
It's
like they lack the wit or the, they're just too pandery.
Yeah, that's a good word. You know, the pandering thing. Cause there's a lot of pandery current jokes of things going on, you know?
Yeah, and it's obvious that Bill Corbett, Mike Nelson, and Kevin Murphy did not write those. Cause it's not their voice. I've watched every episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 10 times over. I mean, I watch it every year, the entire run of the show. It's just I go into this mode, and I know they're like writing voice. It's ingrained in me. So the moment I hear a joke, I know if it's them or not.
It sounds like they're going through a checklist of jokes sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the young writers that they have. I'm absolutely convinced that these guys do not write it anymore. They just kind of go over it a couple times, maybe in like rehearsals, and go, well, let's do this, let's do that. Oh, you know, every once in a while, there's a joke that I go, okay, that was them.
You want to know what was really awkward? And I could tell it was messing up. They were like, hey, let's, pretty soon we're going to do the 1998 movie Godzilla with Matthew Broderick. And it was like, yay. And he goes, why don't we check out a preview of it? Roll it. And it was just a black screen. And they go, roll it. And they're just kind of laughing because nothing happened. And they're like, you know, sometimes these things happen, people, and roll it. And it started rolling finally, the clip, but there was no sound. And so they started riffing it And I was like, I think they're supposed to be sound. And they're just kind of like, kind of shaky, you know, like, but just keep going. And finally the sound kicked in like right at the end. And, Mike Nelson was like, okay, you know, that'll be even better with sound when we actually do it. You know, I could tell they were annoyed that there was no sound. And then, you know, they're like, well, before we start, Sci-Fi sent us a clip here of Sharknado 2 premiering on July so-and-so. And I was like, oh my God, you guys are now plugging shit for Sci-Fi? Yep.
You know, get paid.
It's become such a business thing. You know what I mean?
God, I just wish that, Joel and Trace and all those guys, that were doing, Cinematic Titanic just would have continued with it, because if they would have had the business people behind them that Rift Tracks does, it could have been, I think they could have done those Cinematic Titanics in the theaters.
Cinematic
and made
Titanic
tons
felt
of money.
To me, Bill, like, it was kind of like a fun thing to do, but it's almost like Joel wasn't doing it as like, this is my new career kind of thing. Do you agree?
Yeah.
It was kind of like a fun thing to do. And, like, it's obvious Rift Tracks is a career now for these guys, because they're probably getting paid very well for what they're doing.
I'm sure they are. And it's very little work for them.
Right. You know, just show up and riff, you know? Okay, I want to talk about Patreon.
But did you enjoy it? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had fun, especially with Emma. Okay. Just seeing her giggling through the whole thing is so funny. And there were some pretty funny gags in it, you know?
Well, they're replaying it, on the 15th? So maybe I'll stop and give it a watch.
Emma really loves stuff like, what is the Locust movie? The Day Something Mystery Science Theater? The Last Day on Earth? I forget what it's called, but.
Yeah, I'm not.
You remember when they do voices to like the, to the Locust, and they'd be like, save yourself, Harry! And we're like, Emma thinks that stuff is so funny when they do voices to stuff. So when they do a voice to like a shark or something, they're like, hey, give me a bite! Or, hey, I'm
hungry! That's gold.
Like, that's gold for Emma. So she had a great time with that.
That's good.
Yeah, it is. And they made a bunch of Tara Reid having plastic surgery jokes. I almost thought it borderline was just cruel.
Was there Lanny Frankenboob jokes?
Oh, man, there was stuff about boob jobs, stuff about facelifts and stuff. And they kept making really cheesy 90210, like, hey, guys, checking out the fourth coolest guy on 90210. And someone would go, okay, Jason Priestley. And he go, my name is Ian, or something like that. They should have made a joke about Ian and Ian, but
yes,
they did it.
Prime.
I'm surprised they did it, but they kept saying like, hey, Luke Perry. And he go, my name is Ian. You know, they kept doing that and that got old after a while, but it was fun. And Bill, I just want to talk about patreon.com.
Yes.
/landfill. Of course, patreon.com/landfill, our Patreon campaign. We've got some patrons and it's really exciting. And part of the rewards is when you pay a certain amount, we plug things for people. Yes. And like last week I plugged for, which I would do it anyway because, we love Adam and, we plug Lawrence's Lego reviews, which is, if you guys went and checked that out on YouTube, just search, Lawrence's Lego reviews on YouTube. And it's, pretty cool. They review Legos.
A lot of fun.
But also for Rob Bickmore.
Excellent.
His son, Tom Bickmore, has done a review for videogamer.com for Sniper 3.
And oh, wow.
He didn't tell me, but I assume this is the, he will keep on reviewing things, because I think he should, because it's a pretty good review.
We might have to have him on the show to do a video game review discussion.
That would be pretty sweet, because one of the rewards for certain people when they pay a certain amount is they get to be on the show. And pretty soon we're going to honor that and have segments with different patrons.
Cool.
And they can talk about whatever they want, seriously. Hopefully it'll be about film, television, pop culture. And
What was the site that he did the review
politics?
For? I'm sorry, what did you say, Bill?
I said, what was the site he did the review for? Videogamer.com?
Videogamer.com.
Okay. And it's for Sniper 3.
Yes, sir.
I've been wanting... that's one of those games that I've watched. There's a lot of Jif, gif. I always say gif. Jif is stupid. That's a peanut butter.
Yeah, gif.
There's, it's known for its system where once you fire the bullet, it travels along with the bullet and can, once it penetrates the body, it shows the damage internally.
Uh-huh.
So I've been, they're all over the place, but I've been wanting to play it just because it's the sort of thing that you and I love to do in these games. We love sniping.
Oh, yeah.
And they've taken that whole idea of, that's pretty much it. I know the mechanics in the game is you can do a shooter kind of thing, you know, rush in and shoot, but the game mechanic on that is really kind of poor, for lack of a better term. And so it's really all designed about being stealth and sniping the shit out of things. And I watch the videos, and I'm just sort of obsessed with it. So I keep meaning, I was hoping that during the Steam summer sale, it would go up. And I don't believe it did. If it did, I missed it, and I'm an asshole.
Maybe it's too new to go on sale, maybe.
It could be. But I want to check it out. I know that it's not the greatest game. It didn't get great reviews. It's just kind of mediocre, but it's got a niche.
Yeah, maybe it's just the sniping part is fun. But you know what? The one game that I love, the sniping follow the bullet cam, was in Bulletstorm.
Oh, God, yeah.
You could, like, aim the bullet as it be going in bullet time, and you would steer it right into the dude's head.
Yeah.
And it would go like a melon, and he'd just be like, yeah! You couldn't help but always cheer when you got it you know, right into his melon.
And yeah, like, perfect. Like, I really need to reinstall that game just to have fun with it again.
Oh, it's so fantastic, but that's pretty cool.
Waggleton and... P. Tally Licker.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, Bill, we have some voicemail I would like to get to.
I got a message from Ross Ponye. About if it was still enough time to send a voicemail. So something might pop up in your email while we're talking.
I did receive it. I got it. I got it while we were talking, and I'm pretty slick, huh?
Yeah, you are. You're silent and deadly.
That's right. Yes. That's not silent. What the hell?
God damn, dude.
Okay, our first voicemail is from Adam Sexton, patron. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton saying hello, dropping off a voicemail, and wishing you good luck on the recording of tonight's episode. I am just about to finish work. We'll be on my way home soon, and hopefully I will make it to the chat room on time. So just wanted to leave some feedback on the last week's episode and for the part two of the Star Wars movies discussion episode. Thank you for both of those, by the way. I guess I'll start off with the Star Wars discussion. One thing I have learned and probably should have learned from part one is that I really need to start watching the Clone Wars show. It's in my Netflix queue. I've been neglecting it. I feel bad about it, but hopefully this will motivate me to actually start watching it. It sounds like they've really done a good job expanding the mythology and the characters in a way that the prequels failed to do. I think we're in good hands with J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan at the helm, and also of the other directors attached to the upcoming films and to the side projects. It's the only way they can make anything as bad as the prequels if they just simply don't really try at all, and clearly no one has the intention of doing anything like that. I really liked the speculation about what possible role the Jedi or what remains of the Jedi will be in the upcoming movies. And the two of you talked about are they still in such disarray that maybe Luke and Leia or anyone else who's still around to be able to teach the Force repaired the Jedi's reputation in any way? Has it taken on a new form? Does it have the same role it has with government or military or really anything at all? I can't wait to see what they do about that. But I liked the idea that maybe they're restricted in a way by whatever government's in place because they want to avoid how ineffective the Jedi eventually became to be, how you know, dogmatic they became and how too involved with political or military issues like they were in the prequels. A lot of talk. One issue I expected y'all to bring up, but maybe you didn't because you didn't think it was a non-issue. There was controversy, especially when the cast was announced, that there were not enough females, not enough actresses announced for the cast. Maybe you brought this up in a regular episode, or maybe you just didn't bring it up because it's just simply a non-issue. For one thing, I think we don't know everything about, we don't know anything about the story. We haven't seen all the cast members, and we'll just have to wait and see how that unfolds. But I don't think that they're going to disappoint us in that. I mean, the character that Daisy Ridley plays could be the main character. She could be the heroine of this story, or for the next three films. So we'll see about that, but I think that they won't let us down in that regard. Speaking of which, I hear more discussion or speculation from people wondering about the status of Han and Leia's relationship. I myself am more interested on Leia's status as a Jedi. Did she progress further in her skills as a Jedi? Did Luke teach her? Is she a Jedi Master? Is she involved with teaching the way of the Force to anyone new, or I mean, whatever capacity they want to take that in? I'd be interested to see where they go in that regard. I guess from that point on, we'll move on to last week's episode. But really, thank you so much for continuing the Star Wars discussion. And hopefully there will be a part three within a year or two. And we'll look forward to that. Last week's discussion, just for a couple of things, couple of minor things. When you got to the DVD section of the podcast, the subject of the Rey 2 Blu-ray came up, and Bill made like a maybe he made the suggestion that he was not going to purchase the North American release of the Blu-ray because it doesn't have the unrated cut. And I'm still going to buy it because I don't believe that the cuts that Gareth Evans made to get an R rating are really that severe. He was on, I don't know if Bill or any of you follow Gareth Evans' Twitter account, but he had discussions back and forth with people like Drew McWinney or Scott Weinberg of I believe that's his name, of FearNet, about what cuts he had to make to the MPAA, and he was talking about it was just as small cuts, like, you know, the matter of, like, you know, frames here and there. So maybe he couldn't linger on scenes of bloodshed for too long.
What lingering?
Judging by how the theatrical cut turned out, I'm surprised he got an R anyway. It's like watching Passion of the Christ or the House of Blue Leaves sequence from Kill Bill. How did they get away with that? What did they have to cut out? And I'm still going to buy because I hear the video and the audio representation look well, that the extras are good. Apparently Evans recorded a very good commentary track for it, and eventually we'll get an unrated cut. But I still want to see the movie again and enjoy myself for 2.5 hours of crime crime story slash ass kicking goodness. Tonight I will post the first episode of my own podcast, The Past and the Pending. It will be posted on my website.
Adam Sexton.com.
The website's name averageacridjam.podbean.com. Apparently, I made a mistake when I was registering my account, and when they asked me to put in the URL, I was confused. So I wanted to put it as the passing the pending .podbean.com, but whatever. AvidAcrajam is my Twitter handle. And tonight I will be uploading it to the site. It's about a 7-minute long recording. There's not a whole lot of sound clips or background music. I just pretty much bare bones affair, but it explains what the podcast is about, what I intend to do with it. I have included details about, I've set up a Gmail account. If anyone who listens to it would like to send feedback or be a future guest on it. I plan to post that tonight, and I'm really excited. I want the podcast to work. And I am pretty much out of information now, or any updates or any feedback. So I will let y'all get to it. Hope to see you, see everyone in the chat room. Good luck with tonight's episode, guys. Continued good luck with your Patreon account, and have a nice weekend. See ya.
Thanks, Adam, and best of luck with your podcast. And it sounds like, is the first episode a promo? It's 7 minutes long.
It's his mission statement.
Because, Adam, the podcast has to be at least 2 hours and 58 minutes. Come on.
Well, that's our requirements. Longer than any movie you watch.
I actually listened to a 10-minute podcast on writing, and it's called Writing Excuses. And it's three authors talking about something to do with writing every week. And it ends so fast that I'm like, damn it! It makes me so mad that it's only 10 minutes.
They tease you. It's like, here, we're going to give you some information, but only 10 minutes worth.
And that's it. We'll see you next time. And I'm like, what the? Because you know what they do. They're three authors. They're busy. They get together every month and record like 10 podcasts, in one sitting is what they do. But, 3 hours or bust. That's what I
almost
say.
Feel like if a podcast is less than 90 minutes, I feel gypped. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, Pete Holmes's podcast, You Made It Weird, he always tries to keep it at 90 minutes unless the guest is awful, but, it's like he just always watches the clock for 90 minutes. And normally, the Indoor Kids is like 2 hours, but, I feel gypped if it's less than that.
I'd say at least an hour is good.
And if you're talking about a movie, always make it longer than the movie.
When I release,
because we tend to do that.
Yeah. Well, like the Star Wars Part 2 was an hour and 39 minutes, and I was like, man, this sure is short. But
excuse me. We had talked about so much of it already in the first one, so it was kind of an addendum.
Yeah.
An epilogue, if you will.
I hope you guys dig those shows. It's kind of funny listening to part one, how we knew nothing. And then part two, when we know more, we still don't know anything.
No, we still know nothing.
We know nothing about the plot, but, that whole thing about, I wanted to talk about this real quick. I didn't want this to fade from my memory, but, that thing you said about some people saying that there aren't enough female characters. Now, I read this article about IO9. It's a website called IO9.com.
Yeah.
Where their new kind of thing they do.
Feminism.
These feminist type of posts to get people to... It's clickbait.
Yeah, it's shit stirring is what it is.
Yeah, it's stirring up shit about, oh, there's not that many women in the cast. In fact, after that storyline came out, they did cast Brienne of Tarth. And, Lupita, I can't say her name.
Lupita danced naked for me in 12 Years a Slave.
Also in 12 Years a Slave. And they've since cast another young girl in the movie. And
who do they think they are casting these women?
Yeah, but the thing is, I think someone created that storyline of, hey, they didn't cast enough women to have people maybe fake an outrage when, where there was none.
Absolutely.
So we get you to click on it and read it, and then you realize there's nothing here. They're just saying, we don't really know anything, but it would be a shame if there weren't more women. Because if you look at the original Star Wars trilogy, there's Leia.
I'm not trying to be an asshole, okay? I know I'm an asshole, but I'm not actively trying to be one with this comment. IO9 is quite possibly one of the worst things on the internet. It has Annalee Newitz and Charlie Jane Anders? They were or are couple, and it's just like this tag team of bitchiness. And I can't read their website anymore because it's either the most inane comments on the stories, or it's this just this
it's the same on Kotaku also.
This strange agenda.
Yeah. Kotaku, where they try to bring up stuff like that.
Yeah, and Kotaku, what the hell happened? That was like my go-to video game blog for the longest time, and then it just turned into this shit. The worst, most ridiculous stories.
I don't know if it's IGN or one of those things, but someone made the observation. Has anyone noticed these weird, articles claiming sexism in games all of a sudden coming from Kotaku? And it was same with IO9. It was like this agenda they were pushing to get people to click on the story or something. And each of those stories also links to another story that had to do with a similar thing. It's just a way to get people to keep clicking. Traffic, web traffic.
Yeah, and each time they click, Gawker makes money, and it's just,
it's all Gawker.
It's fake. It's property. There's no actual.
We need to start doing that on this show. Like, get people worked up. Did you hear what those assholes said on that Entertainment Landfill show? And then, we get people fired up, and then they keep going, oh, wait, they do that on political type shows, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole shitstorm we don't want to deal with because I know with Penny Arcade, they made the mistake of making a rape joke. That was really innocent. I laughed at it. It was the Dick Wolves thing where it was like, what happens to these people in like, let's say World of Warcraft where you go in, you help them, you finish the quest.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah. And then once you finish the quest, you just leave the person there.
Hey, was a lot of that Dick Wolves thing on Kotaku?
I think they stirred it up.
Yeah.
Because it was really kind of an innocent thing, but it's like the NPC in the comic was like, oh, don't worry about me. I'll just stay here and get raped by these dick wolves. And they're like, what's dick wolves? Well, they just have dicks on their hands and they rape me all the, and it was just the whole idea that they brought up the four letter word.
They were making fun of the game, and yes, they were being juvenile, but that's part of what they do.
They've always been juvenile.
They didn't mean anything to offend anyone.
And even Mike, his last name is impossible for me to pronounce, but he even was kind of shocked by the whole thing and wouldn't apologize for it. And then from there, it just spun out of control. He got angry. And he started saying even worse things, and then it got to the point where I think somebody, because Penny Arcade at this point is a business. It's not two guys sitting there in their apartment in Seattle.
Right.
It's, it's expanded to a ton of things. You've got PAX, and you've got all the Child's Play charity. I think they had to sit him down and go, listen, you got to make a statement. You've got to apologize. You've got to fix this.
Yeah, you got to make this go away, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and he did, but it's just the internet loves to harp on this shit, and there's an audience for it, so they're going to continue to click on it. And Gawker knows that, and they've got that group. It reminds me of that girl that was on the Stan Lee Kamikaze show that did nothing but bitch about people objectifying cosplayers.
Right, right.
It's just that mentality.
Oh, do you remember
like,
that when Adrienne Curry was on there and she was like, doesn't that bother you when people try to grab you? And she goes, well, it's kind of expected. Doesn't really bother me. And she was just like,
Yeah, you just have to. It's like it's this very immature mindset, this sexual objectification. But it's like Adrienne Curry's like, well, I work on my body to be objectified. That's why I'm wearing these things. It's titillating. People enjoy it. You know, it comes with part of the territory. If you're going to dress like this, you obviously want the attention. So don't say you don't.
It's a fine line. The girl's allowed to be offended and all that, but she doesn't. She shouldn't expect everyone to rally behind her and start marching or something. You know, it's okay to be fired up about stuff. But that's the whole thing about the, I guess, the internet. Yeah, you'll find somebody somewhere who will join you in your cause, I guess.
It's rabble rousers. Rabble, rabble, rabble.
All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Hello.
It is Darren from Birmingham in the UK. Just to let you know, I finished 293. I'm just starting 294, Space Cowboy. Still loving it. And a particularly jolly mood today because my good friend Paul, who introduced me to Nim and Tame Landfill, he's number two boy arrived today. Another pod baby. Yeah. So I'm particularly jolly. It was good news.
Congratulations.
Before you know it, you'll have another listener. I mean, he's already getting his daughter's not even two to read out an intro to a podcast. Nice. I'm sure, you know, she's already seen probably the Holy Trilogy. Yeah, we've got really, you know, religion now, and it ain't the old church. I mean, I think there's been babies everywhere. Like, I think there's a chin stroker baby as well.
Yes.
Really, Darren, feel the need to breed. Well, I was getting there. I have a girlfriend, which is a radical development for me. But enough of that shit. We'll be watching. Oh, 24. God, Whispery Jack. Fantastic as ever. And even quieter. Oh no, I'll drop my pills. What else?
Oh, yes.
True Blood, started watching the last season of that, and my overwhelming response and feeling is, so that pretty much sums up my, entertainment review of the week.
Concise.
I'm probably about going to be 2 weeks behind. You're so prolific these days, it's hard to keep up.
Thank you.
But, yep, keep it up and, didn't love listening to you. Have a good night. Bye.
Thank you, Darren. I could have very easily not done a show today. Bill, I was like, should we go see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and then do a show tomorrow? And I was like, Bill, I hadn't started anything on the show when I asked you that.
When you asked me that, that was like, what, 4 o'clock in the afternoon? 3 o'clock your
time? It was pretty late in the day. I basically put the show together in 4 hours. It's probably a record.
You are a goddamn machine.
I hadn't even had an intro. Wow. I just found shows that were on TV at the time that I was pulling clips off the DVR. And one of those was 40-Year-Old Virgin.
You are to be commended.
Well, thank you, sir.
I thought that was inspired.
Oh, cool.
Well, it was.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Hey. But also another stakeout was on. And it's always cracked me up the part where it's so dumb and it's too much of a visual joke to do it as a clip or whatever. But Richard Dreyfuss is pouring Rosie O'Donnell a drink. She wants a gin and tonic. And so he does it. He goes, gin, like filling the whole cup up. And he goes, tonic. It's like one little drop of it. So when she drinks it, she goes, oh, well, yeah. And she goes, like spits it out. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. Was there too much liquor in that? She's like, but I just love that gin tonic.
You know what? That's... I actually really, really like that movie.
I do too. Another Stakeout is really funny.
Yeah, that's one of those movies I didn't expect to like. I think I honestly think the first film is kind of held up a little too high in its appreciation.
The first film is more serious.
It's very dark. It's dark.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say very dark, but it is dark.
I didn't mean to spit all over you, Steven, by the way.
How dare you?
Yeah, but I really enjoy that movie.
I like
and
when.
Plus, I think Emilio Estevez has really good comedic timing.
He when he says hummus on the side, a homicide. Richard Dreyfuss pulls out a gun and just aims it at him.
Yeah.
That part's funny. It's a funny movie.
It is. It's good. It's really clever. I kind of miss Emilio Estevez. He's kind of disappeared.
I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he's a funny guy.
You know, it's funny. The other night I was flipping through the channels, and there was in syndication an episode of 2.5 Men where Emilio Estevez plays, like, the dead best friend of Charlie Sheen. And I was like, wow, he got old and chubby.
Wow, I had no idea.
Lost his comedic timing.
Appeared on the show. Yeah, he's busy. All right, we have another voicemail. This one from Ross Pagny. Right?
Pagny.
How about Ross?
Pagny.
Can we just go by Ross from the Bay Area?
Yeah, I like Ross from the Bay Area.
All right, let's check it out.
Hey, guys. This is Ross Pagny. From the Bay Area of California. I'm thinking of changing my name to Ross Sexton because that one seems to be easy enough. Anyway, I just want to tell you, gosh, with all the content you guys have been creating, I feel like I have so much to talk about. First of all, I loved the Jaws show from quite a while ago. I never got a chance to listen to that. Adam had always said he was going to let me listen to his copy, but I just never did. So it was great to listen to. It made me feel a little bit guilty because I showed my son Jaws not that long ago, and he's only 4. So
oh, no.
It made me feel kind of like a bad parent, and I hope I didn't screw my kids up like they did to you guys. Other than that, one of the things I was thinking about, you guys made the comment about Sheriff Brody and how he was looking at his scar on his stomach. I had kind of always inferred that he had been shot because he worked in New York and, had, you know, that was one of the reasons why he moved out to Amity Island because it was a much slower, safer place. But I guess I had always kind of assumed that in my head and always kind of thought that that was part of the thing, but I guess it actually wasn't. But in my mind, that's what happened. So it was no appendix scar or anything like that. He was shot. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Well,
other than that, I love the Back to the Future episode. It was awesome. I thought the part of.
I was going to say real quick that, you know, the appendix scar might have been Roy Scheider's appendix scar in real life, but in the storyline, Brody could have been shot in the big city kind of thing.
Right.
So you could do that.
It's convenient.
About Biffing a rapist murderer is true. Like, that's always kind of glossed over.
We
and
can't
you don't really think about it while you're watching it.
In
but
the
yeah.
Back to the Future movie mini, Bill and I can't get over the fact that Biff tried to rape Marty's mom.
Right.
He also tried to murder Marty. He tried to run him down with his car.
Right.
If Marty wouldn't have gotten away,
he would have
ran over Marty and put him in the hospital or killed him.
Well, he would have shot him on the roof, too.
He's driving full speed at a guy on the street, you know, and they're throwing beer bottles and stuff at him. They're trying to F Marty up.
Yeah, right. And it's no big deal to them. They're just, let's kill him.
Yeah, it's like, I guess in the
50s, while you're at it, let's go rape that girl.
This never happened on Happy Days. Come on.
No means yes.
That's what I know at the 50s, Back to the Future and Happy Days. That's about it.
He is a hardened, horrible criminal who deserves to serve some serious time. Last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago, I was listening to the whole thing about Big Brother, and I swear I lost my mind when you guys were playing the thing about the one guy who looked like Duck Dynasty who was doing his cricket noise. And then Steven, after that, he said, next week I'm going to do my bird calls or something. And I, like, lost my mind. And every time I think of that, it makes me laugh. And I've actually gone back to listen to it several times. So thank you, Steven. That was amazing.
Another thing with Big Brother is there is actually a
man named Joe Costa who lives in the town that Adam and I grew up in. He owns.
Dude, I laughed at that later on listening to the show. I talk about this woman on the show, Big Brother, named Joe Costa. Her name is Joe Costa, but I said Joe Costa, and Bill said something like, I know that guy, Joe Costa. And it cracked me up. All right, back to the voicemail. It's funny, Joe Costa.
a shop that makes trophies, and he's in the Lions Club with my mom. And sweet. A weird story about Joe Costa is one time I was down there giving a speech on something, and afterwards he came up to me and was like, oh, have you heard from my daughter lately? And I was like, no, I lost contact with her. And like, he proceeded to tell me how like now she was a burlesque dancer and like showed me all these pictures of like her doing awkward. Her burlesque show and how proud he was of her. And it was really kind of awkward. You wouldn't really
look
expect
at
that
titties.
From somebody's dad. So no. I don't know. Anyway, it's kind of weird, but yes, there actually burlesque. Is a Joe Costa and he lives in Crockett, California. One thing also that's local, I listened to your Star Wars episode and you had read an article about Harrison Ford's leg that he broke it and everything. And you were asking what that was from, what the site it was from. And you said the Contra Costa Times, and Contra Costa Times is my newspaper, like the newspaper that if I were to get the newspaper, it would, be delivered to my house. It would be the Contra Costa Times. Oh, so wow. It's just kind of funny because like we have nothing to do with Star Wars in this area. That's how bad this whole thing has gotten with the Star Wars speculation in that like, you couldn't, I mean, it's all the hot news on Star Wars 45 minutes away from Skywalker Ranch. It's not like Contra Costa County has anything to do with,
the guy doesn't have a secret
with
scoop.
Star Wars, but like,
and
it's just kind of funny
Joe,
because
Contra
you think that
Costa?
This thing is only like, you
it's
know,
filming in England too,
tied to the so. Internet and internet speculation, but this is a pretty huge newspaper doing this too. So I thought that was kind of funny. And what else? I've had so many things on my mind. The last thing is that, you guys have been putting out so much great content lately that I have had to ditch all the other stuff that I was listening to. I was actually listening to David Copperfield, by uh-huh. Charles Dickens, which I was enjoying,
David Copperfield, the magician has his own
it's
podcast.
It's magic with it's David magic Copperfield.
Magic cast.
Magical word.
Yeah, magic cast.
Guys have been putting out so much good stuff that has taken most of my listening time, and I've been just listening to that. So I just wanted to let you guys know that in my mind, you guys are more entertaining than Charles Dickens.
Awesome.
Anyway, I hope you guys have a
We're
good time. Sorry, my voicemail was kind of long and rambling, but I'm trying to get it in before you have the show, and I was stuck in traffic for 3 hours. Anyway, guys, I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, thank you, Ross. Ross Pawnee, everybody.
Love Sexton. Love that Ross Pawnee.
Ross Sexton. That's going to be my new thing on the show, Bill, where I go, Bill!
Jason!
No, whatever you say something like that.
Before we move on, I have to bring this up just to call it to Steven's attention. Did you see my post in on the Entertainment Landfill page of the shirt that's on Ripped Apparel?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. It's shirt, art print, anything. They're doing Jaws for 24 hours. And the shirt that they have is it's a mashup of the Great Wave off Kanagawa. You know, that famous Japanese painting of the wave. And it's like done on a block of wood. And but anyways, they put Jaws in it.
Yes, that's awesome.
And it says it's called the Great White off Amity, and it's got the boat and all. It's so cool. It's one of those shirts where I was like, I need that shirt.
That is an awesome shirt.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I just showed it to Steven. On my fancy computer phone, Bill.
Oh, cool. Yeah, but I was going to order the art print of it, the 18x24 art print.
I love that art style.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's really
cool. A lot of times the mashups do not work. I have a real pet peeve about the Doctor Who obsessions. And for some reason lately on these t-shirt sites, whether it's Ripped Apparel or T-Fury, they always have some artist throwing like Doctor Who into a Disney thing or Doctor Who into Miyazaki thing. Stop with the Doctor Who.
It's a fine line between something cool and pandering.
Yes.
Again, the word pandering.
And I think that's the biggest problem with geek culture right now.
That's my problem with the Will Wheaton project, is it's so pandering where he's like, hello, fellow nerds. And I'm like, shut the F up.
Yeah.
You know, something
just
like that.
Do a show and be funny.
Just do a show and shut the hell up about, hey guys, hey fellow nerds, we're here on Nerdcast. Woohoo!
We're all like, nerds.
Yeah,
let's
nobody
nerd it up, nerds.
We're all nerdy. Let's look at these pictures of women in Slave Leia outfits. And
oh my gosh, they're so pretty.
May the force be with you. It's like, stop trying so hard. Just be yourself and
do a show.
Oh,
and then throw a joke in about a geek looking like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. Okay, and we have one final voicemail, guys. Oh, I wanted to say thank you to Ross. That was an awesome voicemail. I'd actually wanted some Star Wars show feedback, and you guys gave it to us. That's awesome. Also, bringing up Back to the Future, awesome, too. Jaws, Steven and I did that. Basically, you know, you put it out, you don't really hear anything about it, so it's nice to bring up
stuff
like that.
So your kid will not be messed up more than I am. Maybe a little, because he was younger than
me. He heard my story about Dr. Butcher. Jaws is nothing, okay?
Yeah, and I've told the story a million times about my dad showing me that freaking TV movie the day after where the nuclear bombs go off. And
I did see Jaws when I was a kid. And it was scary, but also it didn't affect my appreciation of the film. I was like, this is really good, you know. But
I just became obsessed with sharks at that age.
You should see Sharknado, Steven.
I have.
It was funny because I asked Emma today, I go, so you want to watch Sharknado 2 when it comes on? She goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the non-riff track version.
Yeah. That's all I wanted to tell her. It's like, you know, no one will be riffing it.
I never saw it.
All right, guys, one final voicemail. This one from Adam from the Bay Area, who probably also reads the Contra Costa Times.
Probably.
Awesome. It's such a weird name for a paper, isn't it?
It is. I just expect to have, like, do you have to press up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right?
Contra.
BA select start.
You get that
before you...
unlimited lives thing.
Yeah, you need, well, it's 30 lives. You got to have at least 30 to get through.
All the
it.
Buildings there have a glowing red light on them, and you have to shoot the red light.
Yes, there's like weird, like H.R. Geiger inspired aliens.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Adam!
What's going on, Entertainment Landfill, guys? It's Adam from the Bay Area. I wanted to let you guys know that ever since this whole Patreon campaign that the J-Strims put together, I have really noticed a very shiny, glimmery something coming out of your voices. And it's just really something to write home about, fellas. I just wanted to let you know that. Really love the Star Wars show.
In the world.
Tons of stuff that I would love to say. I try to just text you guys every now and again when the real funny stuff hits, because I always forget about them when it comes to the voicemail. But I wanted to just say that Uncle Bill or Funkle Bill. Bill, sorry. Did a great job on the E3 show entertaining Emma. And let's give it up for Emma. Make sure she hears this and knows that I was thoroughly entertained by the way she helped out on the show. The little things that she added were great. I love that Bill made her laugh a lot. It was fantastic. Very good stuff. And then I text Bill about something that he said the other day. Oh, it was about the guy from Big Brother that was really charming or whatever. Jason, I think you said he lost his football scholarship or something because of like cocaine. And then Bill said, yeah, he probably snorts it and then rubs it on his big teeth or something. Like that. And Steven and Jason lost it when that happened. But that was great. And I'm just the renewed intensity and I feel like the show has come alive lately, and it's probably just because there's a lot of content, but I listened to the Jaws and the Back to the Future movie minis.
Awesome.
I listened to them in the past, but this new Star Wars sale special 2 or the second special was great. I loved it. And as soon as I was done listening, I was so bummed out that there was nothing more to listen to. So keep going, guys. But if there's anybody out there that's not, supporting yet, man, it would be so cool if we could continue to get sponsors for the show and people to support the show to be able to increase the volume and the entertainment, because it's just you know, I love listening to you guys and I'd like to hear more. But I'm happy to announce that my well, never mind. Anyways, I gotta go, guys. What? My kids are screaming in the background. Great job. I'm so excited you guys are doing a show tonight. I can't wait to listen to it. And yeah, so at this point, I'm mumbling and babbling, but you guys have been doing great, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it as usual. And keep up the good work on your little internet show. I know that I've said that so many times. So it's just
little internet show. Know. Yep.
It just you get.
Thank you.
You know to.
It's all right, Adam. We gotcha. Oh, he had. He goes. Oh, I'm happy to announce. Never mind. What? Yeah. What kind of tease is that, man?
It's a stinker.
But thank you, Adam. And you know, like Adam was saying, on our Patreon, we haven't reached our first milestone. Maybe I made it too high.
No, I don't think you did. See, that's the thing. We have fans. I mean, we've got even if you know we've got what like. Maybe I'm overdoing it, but like 150, close to 150 on the Facebook page at least.
Something
you know,
close
guys,
to that.
You just got to help us out here, because the more we get, the more we'll be able to produce.
And remember that when we reach that first milestone, it's the Star Wars Trilogy movie minis.
And who knows what else? That's just what we put there.
Yeah, like I've been inspired just by just these voicemails right here inspire me to do more. Like I gotta put out more material for these guys, more NIMM movie minis.
We've got a couple NIMM movie minis in gestation right now that we've been talking about and that we're actively working on.
Gestation's kind of a gross word, but yes.
Hey, you know, it's
I just think of Alien.
They are ready to burst from our chests.
Yes, very much so. And I don't think we ever announced our second milestone, which is $1,200 a month. I know it's got a ways to go, but it could happen. Look at
but we've only got like 33 patrons. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
is that
just think
stop
if we had
holding out. It's only $2 a month. You know, that's all we're asking at a minimum.
Right.
I think if more people did that, you know, maybe even go to five. It's a coffee, you know, it's Starbucks, which you probably get once a day.
And you're helping keep the show going and you're part of our family. Like, you're part of the NIMM family.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we are. The show is a family. When I went in for my surgery 2 years ago and we talked about it and I was on the mend, which was a particularly long mend because I was so large. Adam, who I consider, you know, I've never even met him personally. I've talked to him a handful of times. We text back and forth. But this is a guy that sent me and I'm getting like emotional, so I have to calm down. He sent me a refurbished and hand painted Nintendo 64 in a Mario theme along with the gold cartridge of the Ocarina of Time.
That's
and
awesome.
A controller. And he sent me this beautiful note and was like, this, you know, I heard you talking about it on the show while you're on the mend here, play this. I mean, this is something that he spent a good amount of time doing.
Right.
And
he
also sent me these wonderful pixel arts of Dr. Mario and the pills and all that. That, I mean, it touched me that somebody cares that much just through the show.
Yeah.
And
he's a wonderful guy. And that's
he
nice
really is.
That's what I love about doing the show is we reach
an awfully nice
we
guy
reach
too,
people
in person.
Yeah. And that's what this is about. I mean, we couldn't have dreamed of having not only fans like that, but true friends.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're just, this is what this is all about. When we started this, that was the last thing on our mind. This was just about us entertaining ourselves. And if we got, you know, 20 people to listen, that would be fine. But we have, I mean, it's become a family.
It really has. It's awesome.
It's amazing that the people that have supported us are supporting us. But if you've been thinking about it, if you've been putting it off, it would be amazing if you could.
You couldn't imagine the glow I get about me thinking that there are people who enjoy the show enough to actually become a patron and support the show, to give money. That's the show means that much to them. And it gives us, it gives me a sense of worth, and what we do a sense of worth. It's not just a dumb podcast or whatever. It's something that people actually appreciate, and it makes me want to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
ever since we started it, it's like you said, there's like a glowing in our voice. And ever since we started the Patreon campaign, when you first mentioned it to me, I was like, you know, that might be really interested. But then whenever you see, you know, even getting up to 33 people, it's inspiring. It makes me want to do the show.
And believe me, I was really scared to launch it.
Because I know. Yeah.
I was like, what if nobody does?
I get one person or nobody.
Yeah. What if, you know, it's like, my sister Laura does it, like a charity pity patron, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think people realize how close we were to possibly pod fading. Mm-hmm. Before the Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. It's sometimes it's hard to stay motivated because you're not sure if people are listening or that they care. And the fact that people have gone out of their way to tell us that they do means so much. You wouldn't believe it. Just these people telling us about the Jaws or Star Wars shows or Back to the Future, it's awesome. I just wanted to have conversations with you people. I love talking about this stuff, and, you know, it's like Bill and I, we talked for hours about Star Wars, but, you know, Adam started bringing out things. I'm ready to go for round three, you know?
Yeah,
and we
I'm ready to join the Dark Tower talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And I caught up to you guys.
That was the thing. Milestone two is that we finished the Dark Tower book shows.
Yeah.
And I tried to remind people recently on Facebook and on Twitter. You know, I don't have a lot of Twitter followers, but the ones that saw it, it's really cool, is that those first three Dark Tower shows we did are still available to listen to at any time. They're there, and eventually a Wizard in Glass show will be done.
Yeah, and that'll be the show that I think most people will appreciate, because that's a book that I think between us all we've probably read more than 10 times. Like I've read that book no less than 4 times, and that's because
and it really is a good book.
Either us saying, you know, well, we need to read it again because we're going to do a show.
Yeah, I would definitely want to read it again or skim over. I would like to read it again, and I didn't,
or even listen to it. You know, is that the last one that Frank Muller read?
It might be. I don't know if he did Wolves of the Cala.
No, he did not do Wolves of the Cala.
Okay, so
because
that is the
I
final
listened
one.
To that one. Well, I listened to
He read a short story about Roland when he was younger that was in some kind of anthology. It's about the sisters, something. I can't remember what it's called. It's a very short story.
The Sisters of Ariza?
Yes.
Sisters
of...
The Ariza. Ariza?
No, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound
it's from
right.
The from the Cala, the sisters.
No.
Or is it from the...
This is like from an anthology book where Stephen King just put in a short story about Roland in it. By other authors, I think.
Eluria.
The Sisters of Eluria.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he read that short story, which is really cool.
And Little Sisters of Eluria.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in that Legends book.
Yeah, I read that, and that's not necessarily something you need to read, but it is cool to kind of be a completist. But I was thinking we could do a little mini show for Wind Through the Keyhole or something.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to do a show for Wind Through the Keyhole, because that takes place between
Wolves of the Cala.
Yeah.
Wizard of Glass.
Yeah.
But
so, and that's a great story. God, that's a good story.
I'd really love to get Wizard of Glass done, because we started to do it, and then, you know, I have notes on it. Hell, I have, Bill, I'm not kidding. I have a folder called Book Club Voicemails, where I have Swiley, Ross and Chris from Buffalo Wizard of Glass voicemails, and I've had them for years.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Wizard in Glass is just one of the, it's one of those books that I will revisit every year, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's just so, that world, and I remember whenever they started doing the comics, we were both really excited.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started reading them, and I was just like,
I hated them.
It corrupts the vision I have in my head.
The comics are too, it gives the short shrift to everything.
It does.
So it's not, the thing you love about the books is the detail of the world.
Yeah,
the depth and the fact that they give a short shrift to everything and there's no emotion tied to it. It's just like, and they got Jay Lee to draw it, whose art I can't stand.
Yeah,
I love
I'm
comic book art, but his is all like exaggerated, like, all like, I don't even want to trash them, but it's not right for the Dark Tower, you know? But yeah, I don't like the comics of the Gunslinger at all. I'd rather have the illustrations in the book as I'm reading. I like that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Just do illustrations. I don't need a graphic novel of it. It just doesn't work, you know? It's just a movie adaptation comics, those always suck too, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I'm worried about the movie and TV adaptations get off the ground, because Wizard and Glass is that one book that almost requires two seasons of television.
Mm-hmm. I almost thought that you would need like a younger cast and film Wizard of Glass first and then start with the Gunslinger because it has flashbacks and stuff.
Right. True,
you know?
Yeah.
You would need to cast young Roland in the first, in the Gunslinger. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's for another time, guys. But like I said, become a patron, support the show, and these Dark Tower shows will come out.
Yeah, and just know that it does occupy our mind. This is not something that we
Steven
have thrown out there.
I'm just over halfway through.
Of the final book, and dude,
yeah. When I revealed that I had actually finished them, I felt awful. Like I was like, oh no, I just revealed that, and I was going to keep that from Jason because I don't want him to feel bad. I don't want him to feel like he has to read them.
I did, Bill. Like
I know
that.
We had a little thing, just
well,
a little
just like,
tiny.
What the
thing.
Hell, man? I haven't even started friggin' Wolves of the Cala yet.
So I teared up last night reading. That's how good it was.
Oh,
which
Steven,
one?
Little guy, you okay?
I won't. I mean, it's the last book, and it's halfway through.
Oh,
figure
God.
Out where I'm going.
Multiple, dude.
Multiple.
God,
yeah.
It's so sad.
It brings it. You become so invested in the character, in the world, and just even these little things that happen in the different levels is just. I get. I'm honestly. This is the second time so far during
well,
the show that I'm
okay,
getting
Okay, I
feels.
Need to state this right now. If we were to do any of these shows, if you guys even for a second let something slip from later books, I would
no.
be so mad.
No. Oh my God, I would never be able
because,
to forgive myself.
Because honestly, the way I would do the shows is, the way we started was, we read the book, do the show, start the next book, when we're done, do the show. Not like, keep going and then go back, but which you guys would have to do now, but I would
love to.
I would read Wolves of the Cala, finish it, be ready to do the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That way it could all stay fresh in my brain.
No, I'm just letting you know it is that good that it, you know, it affected me that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know it'll get you too. I mean,
oh, and there's moments
yeah.
throughout the-
it's so sad.
The first four books that we've read that have those little character moments where it's just, mm-hmm. it's touching, it's moving, it's amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
Just
definitely, we could easily slip back into that and do those shows, and we'd love to.
And so. I almost feel like, and I'm going to stop here, but we need to do a Salem's Lot show.
Oh, I would love that.
We really need to do a book Salem's Lot show before we do Wolves of the Cala.
I read it before Wolves.
It's such a good book.
Who was it? Somebody in the Entertainment Landfill site told me to read Salem's Lot before going on to that.
Right. And Salem's Lot is honestly one of those books that it blew my head apart. Just the whole vampire mythos. And the town and the characters, that's like one of those essential Stephen King's books, the ensemble.
Yeah.
And it just, it's so freaking good. I would love to do a show on that because
the town comes to life in that book.
There's moments in that book, just these quiet moments that you realize that you are scared shitless, even though nothing blatantly scary is happening. It's just the way Stephen King realizes these moments where you're going into a dark basement or there's nothing going on around you, and it's just chilling.
Yeah, I told Jason the other night, I said, I'm thinking after I finish The Dark Tower, I'm going to start at Carrie and start reading everything from the release date.
Have you read his book On Writing?
I have it. I haven't read it.
You need to read that first. Go back to On Writing, because the stories he tells of the conception of a lot of these books is great, especially Carrie.
I just love the way he explains how I never thought of it before, that basically when you read someone's writing, you're reading their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I never thought of it like that. It's just really cool. It's a very cool book. And I need to reread it because I'm writing now, and I just need to go through that again, you know?
It's a good anchor for a writer.
Especially when you know the guy who's telling you these things. It's like, I respect his work a lot, you know?
Yeah,
it's not
honestly.
Like you're in school and you read, like, you know, like Charles Dickens or Hemingway, and you're just bored out of your mind or
something. There's no connection to it. It seems it's like a distant past.
Yeah, yeah. That's very cool. Okay, like we said, patreon.com/landfill. Now, guys,
please,
let's get into entertainment. What do you say?
Do it. Woo-hoo!
Now, Bill, I wanted to say that I did see Life Itself last week.
Oh, excellent.
After the show. And I was so bummed out that I didn't get to talk about it on the show from last week because I hadn't seen it. But
you can bring up little things now.
Heather watched it with me, and I thought it was very good. It was very moving. But most of all, it gave me a desire to leave some kind of legacy behind.
Yeah.
Because that's what Ebert did. He left behind a legacy and so much work. And I even went out of my way to go back and read some reviews of movies that I was thinking about recently to see what he said. And it's always interesting. And it was a very good documentary, and it meant a lot to me to see that.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that you feel voyeuristic and sort of dirty while you're watching it.
Right, right, because it's such personal things going on. I didn't realize also, I mean, I knew that he, it's almost like I knew how bad it was. I knew he didn't have a lower jaw, but he hid a lot of it in pictures to not make people see that, you know.
Sure.
He probably knew, you know, this might be shocking, but in the movie, you see it all. And it's kind of shocking to see that. Like, this week I had some dental work done, and I was like, kind of like, damn, my jaw's sore. And then I thought of Ebert, and I was like, dude, you have nothing to complain about. That guy lived without a jaw and kept going through life, his daily life. He kept seeing movies and reviewing them. He didn't let them get him down, so I need to buck up and not worry about this little bit of discomfort I have, you know? I like was like, you know, mad at myself for even thinking, like, oh, poor me for a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those films that really leaves you thinking about your place in the world and your daily struggles and how somebody like that, when after his surgery, after he lost his voice, he became an even louder voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made up for it in his writing. If you go back and read, I was reading his journal posts on RogerEbert.com, and he came alive. I don't know how somebody dealing with something so debilitating that
it's like what Stephen King said. You're reading his mind.
Yeah, yeah, and it's I really recommend it. It's a fantastic documentary, and there's actually a documentary I watched this week that I'd seen before, but it just reminded me how great it was. And that's the film that Penn and Teller did called Tim's Vermeer.
I've heard a lot about that on Twitter. I read a lot about it. But
yeah, it's about this software developer who's just kind of a tinker. He's a lifelong friend of Penn Jillette, and he becomes obsessed with Vermeer's paintings and the whole idea of the control of light that he had. And he just was like, well, this is almost too perfect. It's like a photograph. And he starts experimenting with like these light boxes and projections and all that. And he figures out this way to recreate basically a photo or a scene using a certain method. And it kind of reveals that Vermeer may not have been as much of an artist as he was an inventor. And it just kind of clicks with this guy. And it's incredible to see the technology. And it's one of those documentaries that in true Penn and Teller style can either upset you or make you think, wow, this is really incredible. Because you have people that have the idea of Vermeer as a pure artist and appreciation of his art and how his control of light and color and scene, and they think that that's just pure genius, whereas this guy shows that Vermeer most likely used this technology that this guy discovered in recreating a scene and matching color and matching light, that anybody could do this, basically. But it's the technology that Vermeer created that is the true art form.
Right.
And it's just, it's a wonderful documentary. I had heard about it through an old friend that reconnected with on Facebook, and I seeked it out and was just sort of blown away by it.
Very cool. I'm very interested in seeing that.
And, yeah, it opens your eyes to what is art, what is technology, what is a drive a person has. Like, how far will a person go to, they become obsessed with something. How far will a person go to complete something, to achieve something, to the point of insanity or to the point of exhaustion?
Yeah.
And it's a window into the way the mind works and art and function. And it's a fantastic documentary.
Very cool. Interesting seeing that. And you know, what we were talking about before about Ebert is I read a fantastic movie review. You were telling me about it and, I would have gotten to it eventually, but you and I both exchange links to Drew McWeeny's reviews.
Yeah.
He has a hilarious last name, McWeeny, but he's a very good writer. And I believe he was Moriarty on Ain't It Cool News.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he left that site, but, but I really have come to love his film reviews.
So high.
He doesn't get caught up in all the mucky muck. You know, he just talks about what he saw and he doesn't have preconceived notions, you know? And he gave a very fantastic review of Boyhood.
It was incredibly brave and emotionally stirring. Mm-hmm. And I felt a connection. And it's like I had posted on Facebook, and I ended up deleting the post because I didn't – in the post, I think it automatically linked to him, and I didn't want to necessarily – cause like kind of a cross posting, you know, catastrophe, if you will. I feel
when somebody works too on Facebook.
Yeah. When somebody puts someone's name into a post and then friends of friends and all that, I just don't like that.
Me neither.
So I deleted the post, but I wrote that it just, it was an incredibly brave and an incredibly, stirring and affecting review that he had written because he pulled the writer or pulled the reader into the writer's life. Mm-hmm. Like it was a window and it was moments that he had experienced in his life that you knew things would never be the same.
Right.
And how honest he was about it, it actually brought me to tears because there was these moments that he talked about that, you know, whether it be the growing up of his child or holding his child upon birth, but it was the moment that he had talked about that I don't think anybody knew that he and his wife had separated and that he was moving out of the house and he had to sit down and talk with his kids about why daddy's leaving. And I had that moment, you know, as a child. Mm-hmm. When my dad, when my dad made the choice that it's better for me to leave and leave my children in a home and not pull them away from their schools. And it's a selfless decision, but you know, as you grow up, you have to come to terms with it. And it was that moment that he mentioned right. that I was like, wow, I can't believe he just did that.
Yeah, it was very personal and sharing a lot of very personal things.
Yeah, and I just thought it was amazing that he had done that. And it's a fantastic review. And I hadn't read anything like that since Roger Ebert.
Right. Yes.
And he's really coming into his own as a writer with Hitflix?
Hitfix.
Yeah, and I was very, very impressed. I'm looking forward to Boyhood.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that I'm going to be seeing it next week.
Oh, man, I want to see it so bad. And yeah, you need to go to that. That'd be awesome. And Dawn of Planet of the Apes, his review for that is very good too.
Excellent.
And it makes me want to see that too.
Yeah, it was between Dawn of the Planet of the Apes today and a film from the director of Once called Begin Again with Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and again, a friend on Facebook has been championing this film, and I went to see it today, and I couldn't.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a problem so they ended up putting, I think, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes on that screen. But I am going to go see it tomorrow, along with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, God, it's so sad.
You know what, Bill? Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, or I'm going to call Dawn of Poda. That's just easier.
Dawn of Poda. Joe Costa.
Yeah, Joe Costa actually wrote Dawn of Poda. And no, it's in XD in 3D. Was the first film in 3D? Mm-hmm. It was? Rise of the Planet of the Apes was in 3D? I don't remember it being that.
That was the early days of 3D, if it was. I don't remember that.
Well, it's not that old. Right,
yeah, I know. It's not
was
that.
It? I cannot remember,
but I really want to see this because, you know, I've always liked Matt Reeves based on Cloverfield, and he did that other movie, Bill. What is it?
Let Me In?
Let Me In?
Let Me In, dude.
It's the remake of Let the Right One In, but I think it was just called Let Me In.
I just wanted that drop to be played, so.
You're a stinker.
Ain't I a stinker? But anyway, we'll talk more. That's very awesome entertainment stuff, and we'll talk more about that. Let's get into what's on TiVo. What do you guys say?
Yes.
Should be awesome. All right, let's do it. Now let's bring up the panderer, Will Wheaton.
Oh, no.
And talk about the Will Wheaton Project. And the main thing, this is really bad when I'm going to play you, but it's so wince-inducing that I had to play it. Just to show everyone that we're not being dicks every week talking
when
about
the show.
When
is this going to end?
This was the seventh episode.
This will be the only season it's on.
Yeah, there was a 10 episode order, and this is the seventh episode, I believe. Oh. But I want you guys to listen to the theme music to
not another theme.
Yeah, no, just, you know, the beginning of the show, you hear this music. That's what I mean. But
I thought you were doing like the Game of Thrones theme that they did.
Oh, no. There is something that bad on here. And I want to apologize to you, Bill, and Steven, and all of our listeners. If you turn the show off at this point, I can understand.
Skip to the next section.
But no, we must all endure this. We will all be stronger when it's over, okay?
For science!
Yes, this is for science. But they kept doing that in Sharknado, Bill.
Oh, God!
They kept doing that. Okay, let's check this out. And it starts off with the Will Wheaton music and then rolls right into it the way he does. Listen to how he says, "Hello, nerds. And by the way, sleeves rolled down in this episode. No longer showing. I looked online. It is an octopus tattoo. Yeah. I was wrong. It's not Cthulhu. I just figured he would be enough of a panderer to have Cthulhu
to have
on his
own." Cthulhu, yeah.
I mean, am I reaching thinking that?
No.
It seems obvious that it would have been Cthulhu. But okay, let's check this out.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. It was announced this week that while the first two Expendables films were rated R, the Expendables 3 will be rated PG-13. The film still promises more deaths than ever. However, most will be due to natural causes. Nerds, welcome to the Will Wheaton Project. Thank you. Thank you. This is where we tell you everything about science fiction for a half an hour. After that, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you all to leave. I prefer to drink alone. This 4th of July box office was the worst in decades. It was helped along by Earth to Echo, which opened in a disappointing sixth place. This movie's about a group of friends who receive strange messages with maps on their cell phones and wind up in the desert with a weird extraterrestrial. The movie is basically about Grindr.
What?
So it's easy to understand why so many people have stayed with True Blood for seven seasons. It's whether you're a vampire.
Okay, I paused it.
Okay, that joke is so bad that you have to... I'm almost without words. Now, Grindr is an app on the phone.
Yes.
It's basically, it's a gay sex app.
Yeah, it's a gay people. They use it to find other gay people to have sex. Meet somewhere
and
have
sex. Yes, but there's also a straight version called Tinder. But he's putting a gay joke in a children's movie?
Yeah, because they all follow an alien on their phones. And
what does that have to do with Grindr? Honestly, I'm freaking dumbfounded by that joke.
It gets worse, Bill. You want to keep going?
Oh, my God.
Let's keep going.
Vampire, a werewolf, or just a sad drunk, you are always welcome at Sam's Bar, where everybody knows your name. Wait a minute. That sounds familiar.
Making your way in Bontown today takes everything you got. Vampires, werewolves, fairies, and telepathic blondes. Wouldn't you like a hot three-way? Sometimes you want to bang where all the sex is really strange. And we're glad to see you came. You're being Sasuke and bashing someone's face. You want to feed where killing and sex take place. You want to go.
Who's laughing at this?
You can't joke that's not canned laughter.
I really.
You want to go where they want to see you gain.
That joke there is just. Oh.
It's supposed to be Sam's Bar is like Cheers in True Blood.
Yeah.
So we're not being dicks. It's awful.
That's physical pain.
It really is. I love that crowd laughing at that. Like
it's uncomfortable. It's got to be uncomfortable laughter. Or they're being paid.
Yeah, they're being paid. Yeah. Now, the reason I included that music, this music at the beginning. Okay, that. Okay. It's the Will Wheaton theme. Obvious sci-fi hired someone to write this Will Wheaton Project theme music.
Sure, why not?
But then I'm watching Big Brother, and they're having the veto meeting where Devin puts one of his own bomb squad members on the block, Zach, and they start arguing. What do I hear in the background during this argument? The Will Wheaton Project music.
Wait, are you sure Will Wheaton's not in the house?
He might be, but then I was thinking, you basically, if you watch Hell's Kitchen, Cake Boss, Big Brother, as I do, sorry, I have no life, but all of those shows use the same stock music. You hear it on all the different shows.
I have to find that source.
You even find, you. I've even
and
heard
destroy
music.
Destroy it.
Music
and
from.
Nuke the site from orbit.
Face Off on Sci-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
During the judging, that music I've heard in like Big Brother or Hell's Kitchen also. So the fact that they're on Big Brother and they're playing the Will Wheaton Project theme during this is that Sci-Fi is just like, put some stock music on this shit. It doesn't matter.
Paying for the shit?
Yeah, they're not going to write theme music for this crap.
You know that the access to that stock music is probably a, like a, a yearly fee or something. Like, it's just garbage.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they, all those different networks, they have access to it. And you can get like faux Jaws music, you know, that, you know, it's not quite Jaws, but it's close to it, you know.
Close enough that they don't get sued.
Yeah. So anyway, let's check this out. It's pretty funny where basically Devin told Brittany, you know, last week Devin put Brittany up. I got to get her out of the house. You know, she questioned my integrity and she went and sat with him and she said, I'm just a mom. I want to do this for my kids. I didn't mean any disrespect towards you. And he's like, no, wait, she's making a lot of sense. Maybe I'll use the veto and take her off the block. So, kudos to her. She actually confused the guy. And then he, who is it? Zach. He was like, I like Brittany. I don't want her out of the house. And he was like, I'm starting not to trust Zach because he's questioning me. You know, apparently you're not allowed to question Devin, right, Bill? You just can't do it.
No, because he's the end all be all.
So when when Brittany comes off, you know, he says, to show you that I'm now loyal to you, Brittany, I will tell you that Popo Zhao, who was also
Popo Zhao,
Popo, Pow Pow, or whatever, she threw the veto competition because they were a team. They needed to both win to get off the block. She's like, what? But don't go telling everyone. I need to show that you are loyal to me by you not going and getting mad and telling everyone shows me. So she didn't. Until the moment he pulled her off the block and saved her, then she brought it up immediately, which I thought was funny because she's safe then.
Yeah.
That was her
timing. And he's an idiot.
Yeah, her timing was hilarious. So let's check this out and listen to the background for that Will Wheaton Project theme music season. All right, let's check it out.
I know this puts my butt on the line. I want to make it clear why I said what I said against somebody that I thought was my friend. I knew by how she was acting with me, she was going to throw the competition. As we were doing the competition, she didn't have her glasses. She never goes without her glasses. So I know what it's like to wake up with a knife in your back. You lied to my face, and I never go back when somebody does that to me. So if you stay...
That I'm your target. I get it.
Yes.
All right. Here's what my defense is. We all know how he is. Thank you. I'm sorry, but you're not a good person. I would rather throw my head on the toilet bowl and drown than stay with you another week.
It could have been worded better, but that was pretty good.
You're right. He asked me to throw the competition.
Coming up, the Will Wheaton music.
Did I throw it? No, I did not throw the competition.
Yeah, you did, because I said I was going to put the veto on your neck. Don't even stop.
I did not.
I'm loving every minute of this veto ceremony. I'm so glad I have a front row seat. I was looking at this person.
Where my
looking at this person, wondering what you're going to say, wondering what you're going to say back. I was tickled to death.
Time out. Going into this, I went to you and I said, if you throw the competition, because Brittany was my original target, I was able to have a couple conversations with her. I realized, you know what, she's here for her kids and I don't want to do that to her.
You did not even
say No, hold on, time out. No. This is after the... No.
Everybody listen to this.
So am I going to get to finish?
You are like, your daughter is going to look at this and she's going to laugh at you because she hears every single conversation. You have told everybody in the damn house. So you're getting called out right now.
So then, on top of that, I let Hayden and Nicole both know. I said, hey, you guys don't worry. Paula's going to throw the comp.
This is the best show ever until my name gets brought up. I do not want to be associated with this at all.
You're right. I had a change of heart. That's why I sit up in the room the last couple days. I didn't want to talk to anybody.
You got what you wanted.
All right, perfect.
And that's fine.
All right, my turn.
I never liked Devin in the first place. He hit me with the first jab. That gives Zach Attack the green light to come back with an uppercut, and I play dirty. I'm going below the belt. I might have to blow up some other people's game. Frankie, don't feel threatened. Pal, you suck at everything, straight up. It's no big deal.
It's true.
Devin, there's not an ounce of truth in your body.
It's true.
It's true.
So, I suck. There's no chance in hell I'm going home, letting you know that now. Every single person on this couch, I know you're going to vote for me. I'm not worried. People on this couch, I'm not really sure at this point. Frankie, I don't really know, but I really hope you vote for me. Caleb, not so sure either. But all you guys know in this room, I'm not going home. Devin, your personality changes with the blow of the wind. I'm going after you. Everyone in this house should be going after you, too.
Yep. Cool with me.
No one is ever going to vote for you in the jury. All he does is smile with his fake smile. And I'm just, like, ranting on about how much I hate Devin. But you're a huge liar, dude. You called the house meeting, crying over your daughter. I would never compromise my honesty or integrity for any amount of money.
I thought
and
it was awesome
you do
did
just that every single day since.
Perfect,
yeah.
Dude.
So what's your response to that?
But it also, it just, it...
Oh, Zacatus.
Best of luck to you, bud.
All right, touche.
Touche.
I like that. I mean, I know it kind of ruins your game, but it actually helped Zach's game. He made sense there, and the eviction night.
Yeah, that's
night
what
was,
I was going to say.
Eviction night was last night, Bill, and they kept Zach. And they
I know. I was shocked. I honestly thought he was gone. After that, I thought that was it.
Well, I thought it was funny that both of them, their strategy was just to keep bashing Devin and saying how worthless Devin was. And they would show Devin and he'd just smile like, you know. And I actually have their pleas to vote for them. And I thought they were both pretty funny, except for, Paola. Pow Pow, as she told people.
What was that?
She, went on for way too long, but let's check this out.
Well, guys, as you know, I feel like a winner already. If I go, if I stay, y'all know I'm a positive person. Everybody in this room is special, me included, even Zach. I'm sorry, Devin. You have 5 different personalities, and they all suck. And you deserve to be here, funny. And me, Zach, don't. I hope you guys keep me because
and they all
Zach
suck.
And I feel like we're on the same level when it comes to competing. He didn't win any competitions, just like I didn't win any competitions. And it does suck. And honestly, I feel like I will never throw anybody under the bus. If I do walk out that door, I'm going to walk out like a boss because that's how you guys know me as. And that's how it's going to be like. Donnie, you're my best friend. Jocasta, Amber, Brittany. I hope all Grief. Of you guys get along when if I leave. And that's all. I love you guys. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Paola. All right, Zach, it's your turn, and please, brief.
Of course. I feel very blessed to be here. If it wasn't for my beautiful, hardworking mother, my father, my grandma, my little brother, I wouldn't be half the person I am today.
Oh, that's nice.
I love all of you guys to death, you 12 voters. It is in the best interest of the house to keep me safe because none of you are my target. My target is that man right there. If you guys vote to keep me safe, I will do everything in my power to make sure that he is evicted from this house. So when you walk into that diary room, please vote to evict Paola. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you both.
You know, I've actually found Big Brother to be pretty entertaining lately.
It is. I'm not going to lie. At first, I was a little turned off by the whole thing, but there's just enough stupid people in the house to make it entertaining.
And you know what? The Paola, you know, she got evicted, and when she... That farewell message from Donnie, he was like, well, honey, you know, I really got along with you well, and you're my best friend in the house, so it's going to be a shame to see you go. And she just started, like, bawling. She was just like, why am I crying? He was such a great guy. I have nothing in common with this 42-year-old man with this long beard, but I just love him.
Well, you know, and I thought about that, and it's because he's genuine. You know, when
he is.
Live and work in a city
that's bonafide.
That's like she does. I think she's never really experienced that before.
Yeah, you're in the city and you're running circles of people your age. You don't meet genuine characters.
And everybody's self-absorbed and you meet somebody that isn't, that cares what other people say and do and cares for them. And
you know, he's on Team America. You know, there's like 3 people. It's Frankie and Derek. And Donnie. And I'm not sure I really care for Frankie because
I wasn't sure I cared for Derek, and I think he's the best player in the house now.
Yeah, yeah. He's an undercover cop in real life. He won't be anymore after this.
No, but, no.
He's good at pretending. You know, his job was to pretend to be somebody undercover, so he could easily do this.
But also what you were saying about Frankie is, although he's not outlandish. He knows when to say things and when not to say things. He's playing it well.
He's playing it really cool. My problem is, and this is a problem with Big Brother, is people are two-faced and you have to be good at the game.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just, it bothers me, especially if there's someone I like talking to them and they're being lied to and they believe them. It makes me upset or makes me mad, you know? But yeah, that's just part
of the
game.
But also the way that the show portrayed Frankie at first, you thought he would never be able to hold on to, you know, I'm Ariana Grande's brother.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been really calm about that whole thing.
He's not going to reveal it. He knows it would give him too much attention or whatever.
I'm impressed with the way he's playing the game, and I actually bought the feeds this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I watch them at night and giggle, and I'm starting to warm up to these people.
I really like Nicole, the girl with glasses. Remember me telling you I figured out who she is. She's Jordan from Real Genius.
When you said that, I started watching the feeds. I was like, I think I'm falling in love with her.
Well, like, it's so funny the way she talks. She doesn't swear often. I heard her say fudge one time.
Oh, that's adorable.
Fudge? Well, there's one point where Hayden goes, hey, you want to make out? And she goes, oh, my gosh, no. You know, she talks that way, and it's hilarious. It's like, she's not a real person. She's like a character from a movie or something. She's from Real Genius.
And I love that she wears the big geeky glasses because she's a geek. She's a big dork.
Yeah, she's a real dork, not like fake ones.
Yeah, and I love a good geeky dorky girl. And you know, as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, they could like do She's All That with her, like the makeover movie.
Yeah.
Where they could make her over and she would be stunning. Like, you just take the glasses off, put the makeup on, do the hair, and just be like, oh, wow.
She the actress, I don't remember her name, who's in Real Genius, she was also Gilbert's girlfriend in Revenge of the Nerd. She was in the Omega Moons. Mm-hmm. Remember, this girl, Nicole, in there, she reminds me so much.
I've been out combing the high schools all day.
Booker.
Okay, I want to cover one more show, guys, and then we're going to take a break, okay? I promise.
I'm dying.
I know. Would you rather take a break
now?
No,
let's do it. Let's get it out of the way.
It's just a quick thing, Bill. I watched a show called Restaurant Startup.
Oh, and I didn't watch it yet. That's the only thing I didn't watch.
It's hosted by Tim Love and Joe Bastian. It's from MasterChef.
And there's a lady. I don't know her.
Yeah, she's kind of more a secondary person.
Okay, she's background.
She goes in for them to the restaurants and kind of inspects everything and gets the thing. Michelle Mayrink. That's who the actress is. Steven's just showing. Okay, in the show, you're basically pitching a restaurant idea to them. It's like Shark Tank, that show.
Mm-hmm. It's half Shark Tank, half show that Bobby Flay did.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. They're not buying this for, like, they're investing in these restaurants. And, like, Joe Bastiani says, like, I'm, like, owning the restaurant. You know, they're really smart with numbers, obviously. Tim Love and Joe Bastiani, they're very successful restaurateurs. And they won't bullshit these guys. And so these guys go in saying that we would like $350,000 to start up a restaurant. And they're not going to say, okay, they're going to say, why do you need that amount? And we want to know why, how much can you make? How much can you make a year? Can we make a profit and stuff like that? So it's kind of funny. And these guys who are pitching this restaurant, Bill, have you ever heard of this stuff called, oh man, I'm forgetting what it's called, but it's, their restaurant is called Kraken.
Okay.
You know, Release the Kraken.
They Release the Kraken. Is it seafood?
Yeah, they'll explain to you exactly their kind of food, so check this out. But the funny thing is, Joe Bastianich and Tim Love have no idea what the Kraken is. Just remember
they think
that.
It's like Kraklins.
And they all are wearing shirts with a big squid on it with tentacles holding like forks and knives and stuff.
Oh, and they're not, I can tell you right now, they're not fans of that clever stupidity.
So let's check this out. Keep in mind, they have no idea of what the Kraken is.
Hi, I'm Garrett Daugherty.
I'm Shane Robinson.
I'm Herbal Donia, and together we are Kraken Kanji. Kanji is basically made of rice, water, onions, garlic, and ginger. Kanji for me is very special.
born and raised in the Philippines, I think about my grandmother, Nanay. She would essentially take one cup of rice and be able to make enough congee to feed my entire family.
Cracking congee is a hip new twist on rice porridge. Just like sushi took America by storm and pho has become more popular, we're confident cracking congee can be the next Asian food sensation.
We'd like you to share in our future success. We want $350,000 for 20% of our company. Our end goal is to open up our own brick and mortar so we can serve congee every day, not just once a month. And with your help and money, we would like to
release the Kraken.
Let's talk about this Kraken thing. It reminds me of like talking about somebody's ass. I mean, what's Kraken?
Kraken? Well, it's a mythical figure that the Kraken in Clash of the Titans. It's kind of like where everybody knows it from.
You got two guys right here that are potentially going to give you $350,000. I have no idea what the hell it is.
The logo? It's phallic and vaginal all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're going to put real dollars into this thing. We want something that's a little bit more identifiable.
We wanted this to be a really hip, modern place.
That sounds like trendy to me, which is the disaster for restaurant.
We give you $350,000. Tell me how you're spending the money.
Well, we purchase a venue.
Okay, so how much are you allocating that? That's what I'm asking.
$150,000.
Okay.
And then $70,000 to $85,000 to outfit the space.
All right, you're $220,000. Keep going.
We wanted 3 to 6 months of backup capital.
Three or six?
Six.
Okay, 6 months in the bank is what?
Well, our operating capital would be $125,000.
So that's $345,000.
And then we also have inventory, which is, I think, $40,000.
What's the top line? How much money is coming in a year?
About $700,000 a year.
$700,000 a year. You're valuing the restaurant at $1.75 million, and you're telling me it's only going to gross $700,000.
This is a starting point.
I know, but this is a startup. I'm not going to invest $350,000 to get 20% of a restaurant that you value at $1.7 million that only brings in $700,000. Are you putting any money in it?
Wow.
You guys got any money in it?
No.
You're going to put zero in it. Do the circle of math there. I'm really good at math. That circle never connects.
Plus, you know, commerce without margin is a hobby, and I'm not interested in investing in your hobby.
It's your classic three line cooks trying to sell a restaurant.
So in the show, they do a little, what do they call it? The fake restaurant where they just do it for one night.
Pop-up?
Yeah, they do a pop-up, and Joe and Tim Love eat there, and then they see how they would have handled it. And the food was really good, but the guys are so disorganized and they got flustered really easily. So at the end, they tell you whether they're going to invest or not. It's either Joe or Tim. They're both separate. Like they're both have their own money. And okay. Joe says, tell you what, I will invest in this, but I'm running everything. You guys are my employees and I really like the idea and we'll go from there. And they're like, well, no, we want to run the place. He goes, you guys have shown me that you are great cooks, but you can't run a business.
Yeah.
And so Tim Love says, okay, I will do the similar thing as Joe, except in 3 years, if it's successful, you guys can buy me out. And they're like, okay, well, okay, we're going to go with Tim Love because we want to own their business. So they go with him. And so every week it's just Joe and Tim finding if they want to invest. So I thought it was pretty interesting, and it's very like business savvy, numbers flying
Shark
around.
Tank, but, that's a good show to teach people, you know, business. It's like a mini business degree, if you will.
Right. And I like how they're like, who would be running? Who's running the place? And the guy's like, I guess I will. You guess you will?
Yeah.
Do you know if you are? It's our money. You got to tell me for sure. And he's like, yes, yes, I will. I'm going to be running. It's just like, you're making me really nervous, pal. He's just like,
you know what you're doing.
You better have your shit in order before they start asking you questions. But it comes on CNBC.
Appropriate channel.
Yeah. And I liked it. I'm going to keep watching it.
And I'm going to have to check out that episode because I'm not a big fan of congee.
I just love that he's like, cracking. That makes me think of butt crack. Cracking the ass. What are you guys talking about?
That looks phallic and vaginal.
Yeah.
At the face.
Wait, I would have said, hey, what's wrong with that, man? People love that stuff.
The sex sells.
All right, guys. Well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Woohoo!
Get out.
Pull up a chair, America. Sit right down there, America. Swanson's cooking just for you.
When Joe gets hungry, he means it. So he goes for a Swanson Hungry Man dinner.
Look at all that meat.
Swanson knows I'm a second helping man.
Come over, Dad. You're not the only hungry man in the family.
from today's Swanson. Hungry Man Dinners to satisfy your hearty appetite.
Swanson's again, just for you.
You can win one of 16 million prizes playing Easy Street at Burger King. Kathy won 25 grand. Nice going. Steve won $100. Aw. Ed won a Whopper Jr. Howie won, whoops, there's $8 million in prizes on Easy Street. Marie won cash for a fur. Tom won a Coke. $5,000 for Karen. Karen? Karen? John won a cheeseburger. Susie won a foul.
Me? I won $100,000. Turn it down.
Make it special.
Because they offered me a house instead!
Easy Street at Burger King.
You've been using one of the expensive conditioning shampoos. Now you're trying new Suave.
It's the same difference.
Suave's gentle, creamy lather is enriched with protein.
It's the same difference.
Suave conditioning shampoo leaves your hair clean, shiny, and easy to work with.
It's the same difference.
But Suave costs a whole lot less money.
That's not the same difference.
Suave does what theirs does and costs a third less.
That's not the same difference at all.
Get a little closer.
Closer.
Now don't be shy.
Closer.
You can get.
You can get
a little closer.
Closer.
With Arid Extra Dry.
New Arid has the most effective anti-wetness ingredient ever put in the leading roll-ons. Effective against wetness. Effective against odor. So when it comes to getting closer, no problem.
Get a little closer.
Closer.
With Arid Extra Dry.
Get closer with the most effective ingredient ever put in the leading roll-ons. Get New Arid.
Starting this Monday at Zehr, you can save in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ways at our 300 bestseller sale. We've taken 300 of the most popular items we carry, 300 of the things you want most, and priced them to sell like never before. Big things, little things, fashion things, fun things, things you want, things you need. All in this remarkable circular, all in this spectacular sale. The Zehr 300 bestseller sale. Don't miss it.
Kids like Kicks for what Kicks has got.
Moms like Kicks for what Kicks has not.
Kicks has corn and that's enough.
Cause Kicks are gonna make fancy stuff.
No added colors.
Kicks doesn't need them.
No added flavors.
Kids have to eat them.
It's low in sugar so it's not too sweet.
A good Kicks breakfast, it's hard to beat.
Kids like Kicks for what Kicks has got.
Moms like Kicks for what Kicks has not.
Kicks, kid tested, mother approved.
The year 2081, and Wendy Mead is having company.
Rodney, set the table. I'll dial chicken a la Wendy. And now, for a beautiful shine on this kitchen floor.
Your robot again?
Nope, my mop and glow.
Mop and glow.
Mop and glow. There's no quicker, easier way. Just squirt it on and damp mop. Mop and glow cleans and shines at the same time.
Beautiful, and it was so easy.
Honey, mop and glow is still the easy way to a beautiful floor.
Hey, honey, what's that? Maxwell House Master Blend Coffee?
It's the ground coffee that can save us money.
But how does it taste? That means it tastes like Maxwell House.
Maxwell House Master Blend. 100% pure ground coffee. Not concentrated, not flaked. We make it a special way so you can save money.
Mmm. Great coffee.
Maxwell House Master Blend. Great tasting coffee that can save you money.
Your days go by fast. Your work never seems to end.
That's why Whirlpool dishwashers are designed to make your world a little easier. Our Power Clean Energy Saver dishwashers are easy to load, have the power to clean up almost anything you dish out, and are energy efficient. Whirlpool, quality appliances.
We're making your world a little easier. Whirlpool makes it easier.
It's the Wonder Jelly, Vaseline Petroleum Jelly.
It's a Wonder Jelly.
As a lip shiner, leather refiner, in a first aid kit, it conditions a mitt.
It's a Wonder Jelly.
Like a dry skin cream, a foot softening cream, takes out squeaks,
waterproofs little cheeks.
It's a Wonder Jelly.
As a makeup remover, a chap can soother, it's 100% pure.
Vaseline Petroleum Jelly.
The Wonder Jelly. Let it work wonders for you.
Miss Morrow, I'll trade you half a prune Danish for an honest opinion. Is it the dress?
Or is it my figure?
Honestly, it's your bra.
My bra?
Try this Playtex Cross Your Heart bra. But in the dressing room, please. Cross Your Heart crosses over, lifts, and separates to help you cross over to a better figure.
Wow!
Of course. I improve your figure and you ruin mine. You try a Playtex Cross Your Heart bra and cross over to a better figure.
Fisher Price knows that toddlers have very short legs and a very big urge to go places. So we designed our riding toys to take them there. Once they get going, even beginners learn to steer and make really sharp turns. Our riding toys are stronger than they have to be because they're going to go as fast as those little legs can carry them. The Riding Toys by Fisher Price.
Grown-up fun is fine most nights, but there are other sheer delights.
Gentlemen, prefer Hanes.
'Cause when you're feeling free and wise, you'll find fun under starry skies.
Gentlemen, prefer Hanes. Hanes will make you smooth and silky, shapely, sexy.
Yes, after all is said and done, there is an art to having fun.
Gentlemen, prefer Hanes.
Stop and Shop's biggest sale of the year is going on right now. Check out special buys like
lean, meaty, colonial, semi-boneless, fully cooked ham. Tasty colonial, 1 pound extra mild skinless franks. 29-ounce Sun Glory yellow cling sliced peaches in light syrup. Our best Stop and Shop brand stewed tomatoes, 16-ounce can.
It's Stop and Shop's biggest sale of the year. And at Stop and Shop, honest values are what we're all about.
Big is back! Big dot, big dab, big splash, big wave, big hat, big drink, big kiss, big wing, big feet, big fry, big bite, big guy.
Good time, great day. Super size makes it my place.
Super sizes are back. Larger than large Coca-Cola. Super size shakes and fries. For a limited time, they're as quick as a drive-thru.
Big fries,
real thick, big cold,
real quick.
The good time, great taste.
Dumb McDonald's, big fun.
Lift up your head and shout, it's gonna be a great day.
Kellogg's waits for you, that spirit comes shining through, promising you a great day.
How could you think a star this bright new morning without your cane? Double L's, always double L's.
Kellogg's has been making great days for more people for more years with more cereals than anyone. Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, Product 19. Trust your mornings to Kellogg's.
Very best part of starting your bright new morning is Kellogg's way. It's not far away. Kellogg's will help you say, there's gonna be a great, we're gonna see a great, it's gonna be a great day.
Jeans and tops from Sears are spring wardrobe essentials on sale this week. First, jeans that fit just $10.99. They fit your shape as well as your size. And you save $5. Add the old cotton top, now just $6.99. Cool comfort and permapress too, and you save $3. Jeans in western and cinch waist, tops in stripes and solids. These wardrobe essentials are on sale through Saturday at Sears, where America shops for value.
You got a date, skin's looking great, 'cause Clarus Hill's ace. Face to face, face to face to face. See you at 8, skin's looking great, CJ's the place. Face to face.
Clearasil gives you great-looking skin, even close up. Inside, it kills bacteria to dry the pimple.
Clearasil's ace, face to face.
Outside, it soaks up all the excess oil.
Feeling first great, your skin's looking great, 'cause Clearasil's ace.
Clearasil, for skin that looks great, even close up.
Face to face, face to face to face to face to face to face.
He used to be your choice of perfume. How you dressed was decided for you. Today is different, it's Tom McCain. Today is Tom McCain. Now you can dress funky or leave it up straight. Make your own moves, ain't it great? Who else guarantees your shoes, no matter what? Today is Tom McCain.
Release the Kraken!
Good times. All right, everybody, we're back. And
I wonder how long they worked on that just to get it right.
Oh, I know. You know they rehearsed that. Congee. I've never had congee.
It's gross. It's a texture thing, honestly.
Yeah, and
it's
talking
about... It's a rice pudding.
He was talking about pho. Have you ever had pho? Yeah.
Absolutely. I love pho.
It just sounds weird.
Pho.
Pho.
Yeah, you'll notice online it's like a big thing to have restaurants that name like the pho king or, yeah. You know,
pho it looks
king
like great. Pho
noodle, yeah.
Yeah. It's Vietnamese ramen, really.
There's a place up in that shopping center where Zio's is, you know, Stephen. Mm-hmm. There's a pho.
There's a bunch of them, yeah.
A pho place there.
You'd like it.
Pho.
If you like ramen, you'd like it.
I mean, it has stuff in it. It's just not noodles, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'll have, like, bean sprouts and different meats and...
Kung Fu grip.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Hell's Kitchen. Now, I really enjoyed this episode because Stan the Man Lee was visiting Hell's Kitchen.
He had no idea where he was.
He got to do the thing where you sit in the kitchen. He was there.
Celebrity.
Yes.
Table.
And it's funny because sometimes they have, the whole reason you have some kind of celebrity guest is for them to react to everything. And we've seen a lot of air quote celebrities there before.
Right.
But they weren't as entertaining as Stan Lee was commenting about everything. I just thought it was funny the way he was commenting about everything.
He was great.
He mentioned Melanie keeps getting picked on because she can't make her stuff right. And Stan Lee goes, that poor little girl.
Yeah.
He even says, there's no way she's going to make it, you know. And something really weird happened here. And I thought it was bizarre that, you know, Stephen, you didn't get to see this episode, right?
No.
You know who Joy is, right?
Yeah.
She's the black girl who's left.
And I thought she was a front runner.
She was a front runner, right? That's what Jason says. He's like, I thought it would be me and her at the end. She's
certainly not going to be him.
Has she ever gone up and been nominated? I don't think so.
I don't think.
She's always held together. But she starts messing up a little, like getting, when she brings stuff up at the wrong time, her timing's off. And it's not like she was bringing up bad food or anything. She's just timing everything wrong. She just brings it up, not waiting for everybody. So Chef Ramsay starts yelling at her, and she goes, I'm done. And she just leaves. And they're like, what? And even Chef Andy goes there and talks to her. And you think that, I thought Chef Andy was going to get her to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, when people yell at you like this, it's because they care. I've had the biggest arguments of my life with people because they care about me. And that's why they're arguing with me. And I started thinking about that. That's so true. Like, most of the time, you don't bother with somebody. You're like, whatever, get out of my face. But if you keep arguing with them because you're trying to make them see something, you know, I could only think of, like a sibling, like my sisters, the only time I've fought with them, like really big fights, is because I care about them, right?
Yeah.
Most other people, you're like, eventually, you know what? Screw it.
Do what you're gonna do.
And she was like, yeah, you make a lot of sense, Chef Andy. And I figured that would be enough to make her
come back.
But what was it? Her pride? What was it? Why wouldn't she go back and just apologize, do you think?
It's pride. It's pride, and she was probably looking for an out. I don't claim to know.
Self-sabotage, maybe?
Yeah.
She was ready to go home anyways.
I think you're right.
Maybe she just started feeling like, I can't make it.
Baby sounds like she's wearing a wind chime.
Yeah, she wants out. Damn dog. God damn dog.
It's okay. I'm just glad that Webster shut up. He was barked really bad.
Not that one. The left one. Yeah. And will you pull the curtain? It's just so a bunch of bugs don't fly in. Okay. Sorry. Thank you, Steven. Well, anyway, here's the clip, guys.
He's so handy.
Yeah, he's good to have Steven around.
Handy Andy.
it's good to have Steven around to do stuff like that, but also...
Your name's Steven.
I know.
Yeah, Handy Steven.
doesn't rhyme.
Okay. So, anyway, here's Hell's Kitchen. Let's check it out.
We have a very, very special guest dining with us at the chef table. This individual is extraordinary. A true creative genius. He is the creator of Spider-Man, the Hulk, X-Man, the Fantastic Four, and Iron Man.
It's the Stan Fantastic Lee. Four, not the Four.
When Chef Ramsay starts listing like all these different like superhero names, I know exactly like who is going to be dining with us tonight. Stan Lee. It's every little kid's like dream.
Make it a night for him to remember.
Like dream.
Melanie.
Oh,
yes, Chef.
You don't get it, do you? Come on, come over. Over.
Listen to
yeah,
the
come on. I'm
going to
run to you all night. There's so much capellini in there. We can't see the crab. It's just, I don't know what you're doing. I just,
sorry,
Chef. It's stupidity. Can I have some crab?
Yes, Chef.
Please?
Get some butter in a pan.
At this stage of the game, Melanie, it's not your second service.
No, I know, Chef.
It's got to be perfect.
I'm sorry, Chef.
Crab. Crap, crap, crap.
Melanie is trying to bounce back.
Melanie, out of control.
This is incredible. No wonder they call it Hell's Kitchen.
Burn, Melanie.
Yes, Chef. Bounce right, right back.
I feel sorry for that little girl. She'll never make it.
Can you believe it? No cilantro.
Black and salt butter.
Melanie!
Oh, he's back shouting again.
No. At this stage of the game, I can't be any more patient. Just come here. Just taste that. Quick. Just jump in and taste it. Let's start off with you.
Tastes like that capellini's missing that lime, that butter, that cilantro. It was missing everything.
Yeah, it's bland. There's no cilantro. There's no salt in there.
I forgot the cilantro. I'm sorry.
I'd like to say to him, don't howl.
Be nice.
This is incredible.
This is called dining under pressure.
Chef Ramsay tries to keep the pace going with the next ticket.
I'll order 5 covers, table 20. 2 halibut, 2 chicken, 1 Wellington.
Yes, Chef.
Let's go.
This is like the lull before the storm. Yeah.
3.5 minutes out. You said 3.5 minutes out. That's fine, Rochelle. Oh, wait. Hold up, pause. Wait, give me a time in so I can yell it out.
Talk, Joy. Whether you like it or not, you're just holding the whole kitchen up.
Whatever, Chef. If you feel like I'm holding the kitchen up and I'm slowing everything down, how about I'll leave and you can have somebody else work fish?
When are you going to start getting attitude?
I'm not getting the attitude, Chef.
Okay, well, then talk to me. Joy, give me a time. Can you tell me?
30 seconds, okay?
Garnish, halibut, please. I'll take.
Garnish, you need about 90 seconds to finish these shrimp off.
Welcome with the halibut.
I need the garnish for the halibut before the halibut.
I know, Chef.
Well, if you know, why doesn't Joy know?
What am I? I don't understand what you're saying.
Come here. I would like the garnish. Look at me.
Chef,
Can I finish my sentence? Plain English. I would like the garnish for the halibut before the halibut.
Chef, I just...
Yes or no? You want to pick an argument? I'm ready.
Can I finish cooking, Chef?
Hey, young lady, if you're in a mood, don't take it out on my food.
I'm done.
You're done.
Leave me alone.
Joy, stop.
I'm done with
this. She left. She walked off.
And he went chasing after her. I've never seen anything like this.
What a selfish attitude. One thing wrong and you run away. Absolutely phenomenal. No, you're not telling me. No, you're not. You're arguing. You're arguing. You're shouting. Hey, I know you're done. It shows in your cooking. Get out.
Unbelievable. So that really happened?
Yes.
I think we wrecked this place by ordering help.
I can't believe what was just happening. She just blew it over a fish. I don't understand that. Shit, man.
Chicks, man. She really was. She self-sabotaged. That's the only thing I could think.
Even Stan Lee felt bad.
He's like, we really wrecked him. We ordered the halibut. All of that Stan Lee.
I guess she wasn't in it for the halibut.
I like when Stan was like, look, he's yelling again.
We really need to bring Stan Lee in just to do a running commentary every week.
Wait, Bill, do that halibut joke again.
She wasn't in it for the halibut. Oh, boy.
All right, let's talk
it
about
it. It wasn't even that well thought through. I'm sorry. Don't laugh at me.
He was going for the homicide joke.
The homicide. Yeah.
Sounds like you were Got notes from me, Bill.
Is that the Will Wheaton show laughter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A homicide.
All right. Let's talk about Master Chef, guys. They had to cook in pairs. And, of course, that one girl, Courtney, got to... I hate how people who are good, they get to go up on the balcony and they don't have to cook. Make them cook! Don't
make them there for. Show their talent.
Yeah, don't make them go to the end without cooking anything.
It should be like Top Chef, where you may be exempt from elimination, but you still have to cook.
You still got to cook. And even, you know, Gordon says, watch those heels in the stairs. She goes, I'm used to it. I've been up here enough. You know, she just always has to throw those little bitchy
Farts.
Comments.
Oh, yeah. She's the preeminent bitch, but there's just something about her that I still like.
Oh, Bill.
I know.
Uh-oh, it's that cicada, right?
I don't like her for the jalapeno. Excuse me. You didn't let me finish my bad joke.
Yes, please. Please finish your bad joke.
No, just move on.
Hey, you're really making the audience laugh.
They love it.
They sure do. Okay, Master Chef, these two guys have to cook. They do a really bad job of what they cook. And I like when one guy tells Joe he doesn't have to eat it. I love what Joe says to him, but let's go ahead and work our way up.
Joe is in prime form here.
Yeah.
You will be cooking in pairs.
Courtney.
We're cooking
because you
pairs?
Had the best dish in the last challenge. You will be choosing everyone's teams tonight.
Oh.
And as an added bonus, you will not have to cook in tonight's challenge. Take those glamorous heels and please, yet again, head up to the balcony. If we don't catch those heels in the staircase.
I won't. Got lots of practice. I'm no stranger to the balcony. It's like my second home, so I feel like this is where I'm supposed to be.
All these amazing ingredients you can find in that amazing pantry, along with everything else you need to make us one stunning surf and turf dish.
We have two proteins that do not pair together.
Stunning.
Seven amazing items stunning. Out of the pantry. I'm just praying that we can pull it off.
Dan Wu and Cutter, please. Thank you.
Cutter.
Dan Wu and Cutter's plate is empty, and it's not very pretty.
What in the f*** is that? I am so embarrassed. That pantry is stocked. There are professional restaurants and kitchens that don't match what we've set up in there for you, and that's what I get. Somebody give it to me, will you? Tell me
I'll
what
say
that
exactly
is.
Exactly what I have.
Please.
Go in the pantry.
Please.
He has an idea. I listened to him.
Yeah.
I told him I didn't like it. He just starts grabbing. And this is what you get. Ran out of time in the pantry. Then I have nothing to work with.
We went in there. I gave my idea. He gave his idea. We grabbed the proteins and we started from there. We went back.
I specifically told you that neither one, they're both lean and they don't go together.
We didn't get enough ingredients to really make anything work.
You didn't know, have an idea. You didn't have anything real damn what you wanted to do. You were just grabbing stuff. You kept telling, we'll get it as we go. We'll get it as we go.
So both you pick up a basket.
Cutter was psyched out.
And then bring it back. At least you got something tangible to work with.
By the time we hit
Dan
our station, there was nothing we could do in terms of ingredients. We had what we had. So the way this dish tastes, I will take responsibility for
but
it.
I think it actually came out decent. Through all the stuff, I think it actually came out tasting decent.
Describe the dish.
It's a seared venison loin on a bed of cauliflower and parsnips. On the other side is a seared tuna marinated in some ponzu yuzu
doesn't
soy
like
on a three radish salad.
Even separate identities, it still doesn't work. That is possibly one of the worst dishes in this competition so far.
It's not good.
Man.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat it, really. You don't.
I'm a judge here, so why don't you let me figure out what I have to do and what I don't have to do. I know how to do my job.
It's phallic and vaginal all at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, at least it had that going for it.
You know, it's funny. I'm watching this episode, and I don't know why it didn't click with me before, but Dan Wu looks like Al Leong, the guy that always played a henchman in 80s. Action movies.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
He like steals a candy bar while he's there.
And then Huey Lewis tells him to put it back.
There's something wrong. They're coming back down.
Talking about somebody's ass.
Oh, that's awesome. Dan Wu. Dan Wu got to stay, and I think Cutter got eliminated.
Yeah, Cutter got the boot. Cutter got cut. Cut it out. Cutter.
Cut it out. Yeah. So I'm still enjoying MasterChef.
I am too.
All right, let's talk about 24, Bill.
All right.
Jack Bauer figured out that the slimy Tate Donovan had sold him out to the Russians.
Son of a bitch.
So he asked the president if he could please drop by and have a word with him. So as soon as the door shuts, he has a word with Tate Donovan. Let's check this out, Stephen.
Whispery word.
Whispery. You sent me for the Russians, you son of a bitch. Why?
Jack, take it easy.
Mr. President, the Russians have attacked me.
I love
tracking me using my comlink. Mr. Boudreau here gave it to them.
Mark, tell me that's not true.
Tell me the truth.
Somebody stabbed something with scissors in the background.
Sorry. Sorry? You're working for the Russians and you're telling me you're sorry?
I'm not working for the Russians.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Look,
Barrow
was a traitor. I thought he was here to assassinate you.
The Russians have been pushing us for 4 years to turn him over to them. So, yes, I forged your signature on the rendition order.
No big deal.
I thought I was killing two birds with one stone.
I can't believe what you're telling me.
Sir, as long as Jack Bauer is free, he is our political liability. I was trying to turn him into an asset. I was doing my job.
Your job?
Mr. President, don't be so naive. My job is to keep your hands clean. That means mine get dirty. I had no idea Anatole Solnavich was working with Chang.
Solnavich's cover is that of deputy foreign minister. He's a covert intelligence operator, you idiot. If the U.S. goes to war with China, who do you think benefits?
Russians?
Russia.
I am placing you under arrest for treason.
Tate, what did you do?
Mr. President, I can still use him. Have you had personal contact with Solnavich?
He doesn't return my phone calls, but I do know where his personal residence is.
Sir, I'm going to need him to set up a meet.
All right.
And by meet, I mean a side of ribs.
Mr. President, I want you to know...
Enough! Enough! I don't want to hear
anymore. Just sit there
and
be quiet, little boy.
You're in timeout, Tate Donovan.
Put this dunce cap on. Go in the corner.
I like when they go to that Russian guy's house, how Jack and Kate just start killing everyone.
Yeah. It's like, oh, shit, this is no point of no return. Let's just start killing Russians.
And I love that the big Russian dude gets a friggin' piece of glass in his jugular and is squirting blood everywhere. But my favorite part in the whole episode is the Chinese guy and his thugs are in a van and they have Chloe hostage and she sees like a pipe. Yeah. And she reaches over and just starts beating the shit out of everyone and leaps out of the van. And they're just all kind of like, what the hell just happened?
It's,
like
it's a pipe van.
Freaking Tasmanian devil just got set loose in the van. And then these other trucks come along. And he's like, leave her. And they just abandon her and they drive away. But that cracked me up how she just is like, a pipe. I know. Bam, 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 bam. She's just banging it, hitting
she
everyone in the
She's pretty
knees.
Good for taking out these trained killers.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And well, at least they've all got it figured out. But I couldn't believe it, Bill. Audrey, Kim Ravers, gets kidnapped. Could you believe that shit?
Oh, man. It's just, she had it coming.
Why did she need to talk to that lady in a park? Why couldn't she have her brought there to that safe, secure location?
It has to be secret.
It's gotta be. Oh my gosh.
That's Cicada secret location.
Don't be so naive.
Oh, okay. But I really enjoyed it. I thought for sure Tate Donovan was gonna die in that episode. But I bet you he dies in the
next
finale.
Yeah, he's going to have to. That's the only way he's going to get out of being tried for treason. It's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself in the name of the people.
I love when Jack says this
to him.
That way
I'll be a hero, not a treason.
He's a covert intelligence operator, you idiot.
You idiot?
I just love how they talk to him in that scene. You've got William Devane basically treating him like a child, and then you have Jack treating him like a child.
Oh, he's like,
sorry.
You're sorry.
it's the ultimate insult.
I don't want to hear any more. Nothing.
you're my chief, what, your national security advisor, chief of staff, and we're treating you like a child.
And he's his son-in-law, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
All right, let's talk about Defiance. We get to see Alack's record business, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Fourth Man Records. Pressing the records himself.
Yeah, what was it called, Bill, his record company?
I can't remember.
It's called Tar Tracks.
Oh, God.
And you see the record press there, and it seemed like Daytac was very impressed by it. Let's check this out.
So this is where the records get manufactured.
Interesting.
The presses were all rebuilt
finally,
from salvaged parts.
Cold.
I got them for practically nothing. Now we have an output of 2,000 units per week.
He's really cranking out the vinyl.
Tar Tracks.
Pieces of vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, son. When we started today, my intentions were quite different. You, see those canisters?
Where did those come from?
I had them delivered. I was determined to burn this place to the ground. Your complicity with your mother earned that at the very least.
Dad,
But you have shown me much. This business serves as a useful front. And that little show you put on back at the fight tent, offering your life to save your men. Clever boy. Give me your hand, son.
Oh, he wants to shake his hand.
You've impressed me, Alack, and I'm not easily impressed. But I cannot let your transgressions go unpunished.
Everything I've said is true. And now that your debt has been discharged, we shall begin again, together.
Skip a little.
Wow.
Best put some ice on that.
Alack's best put some ice. What I loved about this episode is that Stama and Alack, you know, now that the dad's back, Daytac, he's really ruining everything because they actually figured out that they don't need him at all to run right. everything.
Sure.
And even like,
he messes things up running them.
Yeah.
Causing trouble.
Well, like he kills one guy. I think it's Guillermo, the cast of the, he gets a casty blade across the neck.
What I didn't understand there is the casty blade carterizes things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how did he die there? It's like,
he'd be like, ow, God, well, it's carterized, I'm fine.
Yeah, could he not breathe through the hole? I don't know. I was just, maybe it's the lack of the blood flow to
all
the
I
head.
All I know is
that's
every week I'm like, I want a casty blade. That would be really handy, wouldn't it? I want one.
I think it's fantastic.
But I love the end where basically, Stama and Alack get the rest of their guys and they're like, we don't want you here. And they beat the shit out of them and throw them in the mud outside. And she says something like, if only you would have worked with me. If only we could have been partners. So he's basically out on his ass now.
Well, he pulled out the casty religious Bible.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he keeps bringing it up, like, whenever she says, you said you would, you know, you used to denounce all this.
You spit on one of these before opening it again.
And she goes, what your father put you through. And he goes, my father put me through much worse, so this isn't so bad. It's like, that's not really a good excuse.
Yeah, that's a little weak.
And then we finally got to see some Rafe McCauley here, and, was that guy just a friend? He wasn't like his son or anything, right? He was just like
a former employee.
Yeah. Why did he shoot him in the back, do you think? Just so he couldn't name Rafe and implicate him?
Probably. Didn't want to look him in the face.
And then Rafe loses his house. What do you bet that Pottinger guy is going to live there in the next episode?
No. Totally that's a nice place. Got a nice kitchen.
Oh, yeah, it's very, like, modern.
But poor Rafe, you know, a guy brings that shit into his house. And just, you know.
Yeah, what the hell was he thinking? You know what was funny at the beginning of the episode when the Raiders showed up? It reminded me of in the game, you fight a lot of Raiders, and they wear goofy masks and stuff. And I thought that's who those guys were at first. So I was like, oh, this is like the Raider guys you fight in the game. But it turned out to be the miners in costumes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I liked his shotgun shell spike face.
Yeah, I kept looking at that. Like, that's ingenious.
Like, it was very decorative. He had, like, a hot glue gun at home making that.
Yeah, they, you can just see him sitting there for hours making those masks.
I bedazzled my mask.
Pimp my mask.
It was a pretty good episode. There was less Arisa-type mystical stuff, which was good.
God, thank God for that. But the I like the little storyline between the what would you call? Is he E-Rep, the black gentleman?
No, he's just the sheriff.
Remember okay, he, that's I was trying to wrap my mind around it. But I like the scene with him and the E-Rep girl.
Right.
Like, I want to know more about her. I like her.
And the fact that Arisa was watching them.
Yes, I see the way you look at her.
Well, I noticed it was, I thought it was interesting because I remember they showed her before, when they introduced her, she was videotaping another soldier and talking to him. But I guess she's like editing videos and sending them back to the Capitol or whatever. And it's
she's like a propaganda artist.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know.
Propaganda videos and stuff. Maybe she will start to get more of a conscience of what she's actually doing. That
I think that's what they were kind of implying with this, is that although she's E-Rep and she's making these videos, I think she sides with the people more.
Right, because the guy was saying, you know, if they keep drilling down here, the whole place is going to collapse in on itself. She's like, you're lying. They wouldn't do that. And he's like, yeah, they would. And she's going to figure out that, yeah, they don't really give a shit about any of the people there. What is it they're mining for, by the way?
It's got to be something that involves that the thing with Arisa.
It's some ancient technology, right? From a ship that dug itself in or something.
It's like it's something. Is it Voltan or
the Voltanus Collective or something?
Yeah, it's something that's something that's big time.
Yeah,
maybe we're going to reveal it in the game.
I'm enjoying the show though.
It's fun. It's one of those shows that I sit down and I watch and I just kind of go about my stuff, but I still watch it.
It's been even better this season, I think. They've got people figured out more.
Yeah, it's much more cohesive.
Yeah, and I like Nolan when he was having sex with, what's her name? Crap.
Why do I always forget her character's
Julie
name?
Julie Benn's character, and Arisa walks in on him. She's like, did anyone teach you to knock before you enter? And she's like, Nolan raised me. And she's like, oh, that explains it. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was good.
All right, Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Let's do some news.
All right, let's do it! All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, I had mentioned this on Facebook. I find this fascinating. I think it was 2 weeks ago in Pittsburgh, there was a delivery of a box of bananas to a grocery store or something, and there was a scorpion in them.
Oh, man, scorpions are scary as shit.
I know, just the whole idea of, like, they're like a crazy mutant lobstrosity that's poisonous and just and scary.
The thing has armor, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, and it's got a stinger thing. I don't want anything like that has a stinger. No.
Yeah, don't get stung by them. They suck.
Yeah. So, anyways, in Pittsburgh, they got a scorpion in their bananas. They did not rock like a hurricane. Sorry. But in the UK... Yeah, thank you, Will Wheaton's audience. In the UK, they got a box full of about $42 million in U.S. dollars of cocaine.
Oh.
Yeah. Officers from the Met Special Projects team in Hartlepool, Kent, tracked a lorry, or a truck, carrying the consignment of bananas when it arrived at 6 a.m. yesterday. The warehouse was kept under surveillance while another team monitored three other men who later met at an internet cafe in London and believed to have accessed instructions relating to the shipment. They ended up arresting 39 and a 46-year-old man. And they raided the warehouse at 10:30 p.m. and found the bananas compressed into plastic. Like the, it was a box of bananas, but it was compressed into those plastic bananas and hidden among the real fruit.
Ah, very sneaky.
That's pretty genius. You know, they needed to do was ship it in coffee grounds.
Oh, yeah. We learned that from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes. And then, bananas. Eh, I mean, it's smart, but I think the coffee grounds is a better way to go.
Yeah, they were doing something similar with marijuana in Mexico. They were making it into, like, those watermelons, the paper mache-looking fruit.
Yeah.
And shipping it over.
They're ingenious. They're ingenious. And now they're losing the cartels kind of abandoning marijuana in Mexico because it's so good here now in so many states it's legal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not in demand from them, I guess.
Yeah, they're losing a lot of money. And,
marijuana!
I know when I was in high school and it was the cheap Mexican weed, that stuff sucked. You know, so this is skunk now you're getting medical grade, and all you need is a crooked doctor to give you a prescription for it.
Real strong smell of weed in here, man.
Oh yeah, Steven Seagal knows. All right, here's a huge story out of the Twitterverse. Kelsey Grammer has joined Twitter to clean up everyone's poor grammar. The film stage and screen star best known for playing Dr. Fraser Crane for 20 years. Wow, that's yow. First on Cheers, you know, where everyone wants to see you come, apparently.
Kelsey Grammer is the angel of death.
Oh my god.
he's the angel of grammar. Grammer, 59.
No,
joined the popular social media site June 30th after his first tweet tagged hashtag Kelsey Grammer. Get it? He's playing on it.
I get it.
Since then, he's been good to his word, helping people with their words one tweet at a time. In addition to his Twitter time, the actor's co-starring in the FX network series Partners. So
Clever
this
boy.
Is kind of his publicity stunt, I guess. And he probably has somebody going, you got to get on that Twitter.
He's on a new show with Martin Lawrence.
Yeesh.
Martin. I bet that's
I guess Martin felt the need to come back into our lives.
Yeah.
Oh.
here's a interesting story out of Scotland. A tourist caused a full-scale alert for a Scots lifeboat crew after she reported a ship that had sunk 9 years ago. Yes, the woman made the call after spotting the long-sunken fishing trawler, the Sovereign, which ran aground in Cairnbrog, Aberdeenshire in 2005. The Fraserburg lifeboat team were called into action on Friday afternoon to investigate the reports that a vessel had sunk. Bill Watson of the team said a tourist had been standing on the local landmark Tiger Hill when she saw the Sovereign lying on its side. She must have thought that it had just freshly sunk and made the call to the RNLI. It is a familiar landmark to locals, but you can see how easy it would be for a visitor to mistake it for a vessel in distress. It was a mistake made with the best of intentions. My only question is, why didn't the person that was taking the call go, that's the boat that's been there for 9 years.
Yeah.
Don't be so naive.
Or even for the team to go, what's the location again? Oh, yeah, that's been there for a while.
Maybe they just wanted to fill their day. Like
that's what I was thinking. Let's waste some tax dollars.
No, 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 no.
Or however they get their money there.
Yeah.
All right, Las Vegas. A man who tried to set a Guinness World Record for the fastest time to jump through 10 panes of tempered glass. That is a thing.
Wow.
Well, he sued True TV, claiming it
tampered with the tempered.
Yes, claiming it tampered with the equipment. Then, as he lay hospitalized, had him signed a waiver which misrepresented his insurance papers. Ouch. Jesus Villa on Tuesday sued High Noon West, Courtroom Television LLC through Turner Broadcasting Systems and Time Warner in federal court. Villa claims he agreed to allow True TV to film his world record attempt at the fastest time to jump through 10 panes of tempered glass.
I knew there was such a thing.
It's so stupid.
I am so embarrassed.
The film crew was to provide approved safety equipment. He says he successfully completed his practice run after having the crew make some adjustments to the safety gear. But unknown to Villa, he says the TV crew made further adjustments between the successful run and the actual record attempt days later. He claims they committed intentional acts expressly aimed at him.
Interesting.
Said acts causing him harm, the brunt of which has been suffered.
So they did it to make it more dramatic, I guess.
I would have to assume. I mean, if he completed it the first time, I'm like, maybe this just looks too easy. Let's adjust it so that he gets injured.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. It's who are we to judge?
Sorry.
But the fact that he's jumping through 10 panes of tempered glass kind of.
I feel like I could do that on accident, just like trip and go, oh, and just fall through it.
Yeah, God, it's so sad.
What talent does it take to do that?
I know, somebody actually decided that this should go in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Why?
Yeah, as a kid, I remember reading it like, oh, so this person's really old, or this person did, you know, it's just not. Oh, wow, this person jumped through 10 panes of glass.
Sorry.
That's talented.
Take it easy.
All right, everyone, we need to calm down. Steven Spielberg did not poach a dinosaur.
Oh, my God.
Hard to believe, right?
Well,
a photo posted
films.
On Facebook meant to be satire went viral, being shared more than 30,000 times. Because so many people not only believed it was real, but also were furious at Steven Spielberg.
Killed a triceratops.
Yes, the triceratops from the movie that was ill, not dead.
Don't be so naive.
Yeah, the thing had the flu or something, right?
Yeah, they like looked at its poop and were like, hey, it's just got a little flu.
Yeah, no and he cold. Was taking a picture, but people were like, the person who posted this and said, what did he say exactly? Because I think the person's a genius.
I don't know exactly what he said, but,
it said something like, rich guy kills dinosaur. For
yeah,
sport,
it was something
or,
simple.
And people are like, he killed a dinosaur?
I can't believe this.
And somebody I know they wrote it as a joke, but it's like, animals have made it through millions of years.
It didn't survive all this time just to be killed by some rich asshole.
Yeah, it was a parody of the 19-year-old Texas cheerleader that is posted
right
tons of pictures of her killing like endangered wildlife on a safari in Zimbabwe.
Dead giraffes, dead elephants, and you're like, oh my God, what the hell?
Yeah, a heartless woman killing things in Africa.
That.
The photo sparked massive outrage from animal rights activists and other Facebook users. So Jay Branscombe posted the picture of Spielberg with a mechanical triceratops on the set of Jurassic Park. And it says, disgraceful photo of a recreational hunter happily posing next to a triceratops he just slaughtered. Please share so the world can name and shame this despicable man.
So he just slaughtered.
many users did not get the joke. And
some people
responded,
would have you believe dinosaurs existed millions of years ago.
It's
just not true.
I just reported this picture. Hope you all can join me in stopping these cowards. Another added, disgusting. I bet he only kept the horns.
Velociraptor. Dilophosaurus. Yum.
Still, there were plenty of others who did get the joke. If this senseless poaching continues, these gentle creatures may become extinct. but your $20 per month could help save these endangered creatures.
$20.
Please reach out and help the Tri-Tops. Yeah. People are so stupid.
Cute.
Wow. There are some really great posts. I think of all places, I hate to even mention BuzzFeed, but they had a great rundown of some of the reactions and took screenshots of them. I was cackling like an idiot.
It's really funny.
You know, I think we've mentioned before about the seismic activity in Yellowstone Park and how a lot of people are like trying to bug out. Like there was a photo that went viral of like cows running away from the park. That was, people were like, hey, even the cows know we've got to get out. But it was actually just a photo of their annual migration. But of course people shared that. But yeah. This caught my eye. The ever-changing thermal geology of Yellowstone National Park has created a hot spot that has melted an asphalt road and closed access to popular geysers and other attractions at the height of tourist season. I'm sorry, but if it's melting roads, I don't think you should go to Yellowstone, honestly. I mean, I don't know if this is a regular occurrence, but if I'm somewhere that's considered a super volcano and I'm driving along and I'm like, oh, hey, look, the road's melted. Maybe I shouldn't go that way. I would be turning around and driving the fastest possible speed to get out of Yellowstone National Park.
Don't be so naive.
But they're like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, there are plenty of other great places to see the thermal features in the park. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't risk personal injury to see these during this temporary closure.
Yeah, I remember Yellowstone, when they have the geysers and stuff, they have little walkways, wooden, and you're not supposed to walk on the ground because they tell you it's actually very, like, brittle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And it's like, if you walk somewhere where the ground was, like, you could fall into boiling hot water, wouldn't you want to hang out there?
How did they build the bridge?
Very carefully. Mm.
They held the guys over, like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right.
And finally, a woman tripping balls on LSD ran naked through an Arkansas city and fought with officers when they tried to restrain her. An incredible dash cam video footage catches Melissa Valencia, 21, streaking nude through a parking lot near South Church Avenue and West Mountain Street in the city of northwest corner of Arkansas.
Yo, officer!
Come here, stop running, the officer yells as he approaches the naked woman, who takes off when she sees the approaching police car. A second car arrives and officers eventually grab the woman, who ran approximately 75 feet to a pole in the parking lot and appeared to be attempting to hide from me.
Excuse
me? An officer wrote in their report she was trying to hide behind a pole. Police first responded after a caller stated that Valencia was intoxicated, on drugs, and, quote, tripping balls.
Sorry.
After police tried to take her into custody, Valencia begins to scream, let me go, let me go, as she eventually taken to the ground and secured with handcuffs and leg restraints. The video shows a blanket was placed around her for treatment for possible drug overdose. Please stop. She can be heard moaning on the video. I need to see this video, and someone needs to put Yakety Sax behind it. Valencia refused to tell officers who she was or what had happened, but she later spoke with a nurse and admitted to taking acid at her boyfriend's house. You know, she needed to take it with Walter, because Walter knows how to handle the LSD.
You're scanning my balls?
Yeah, no, some people just can't handle their acid, right?
I don't know why anybody would actually want to take acid.
Excellent. Let's make some LSD.
We always hear about bad trips. I wouldn't even want to take the chance.
No way.
There's no appeal to that.
LSD.
You don't mess with stuff that messes with your brain, man.
Yeah. Unless it's mushrooms. Woohoo! Cyclocybin, baby! I've never had a mushroom.
I have eaten some mushrooms.
Oh, well, he has.
I want to go on a vision quest.
Yeah, right.
Not right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news this week. I don't know why that's funny, but thank you. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
If it's up to Bill, what, Bill?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's phallic and vaginal all at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Yeah, that's why we love DVDs. Let's do it! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs!
And Steven really ripped into that one.
Best of luck to you, bud.
I was afraid maybe he tore out his vocal cords.
I was headbanging here.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
All right, Blu-ray and DVD for July 15th, 2014, starting with Black Dynamite Season 1.
Talking about somebody's ass.
I had no idea there was a cartoon series for the Black Dynamite movie.
Huh.
Have you ever seen Black Dynamite?
No, I know what you're talking about. It's the Michael J. White plays him.
Yeah, it's
and
basically
goes to Dynamite.
It's like a 70s blaxploitation.
Right. It came
and there's
out a while
a, like
back.
A conspiracy with Nixon and like it's the craziest thing, and it's hilarious because as I'm watching it, I'm realizing that they're using footage from different blaxploitation films to like even out the movie.
God
and
Almighty!
There's a couple times where they use the car exploding from East Meets Watts or Dynamite Brothers that, Cinematic Titanic riffed on. And I was like, I know that movie.
And boom goes the dynamite.
So it's always, it's a hilarious movie. It's, cool. It looks like they got like the original stars and right, and they just did a TV series for, Adult Swim.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think that it's quite interesting.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite. All right, next up we have Hell on Wheels, the complete third season. I had no idea this has already been on 3 seasons.
Wow. Cool.
No idea. I don't know if it's good or bad. I watched the first episode. That's all I've seen.
I wonder what Gordon Ramsay would think of that.
Crap.
Oh, that's not nice. I thought he would say, like, amazing and stunning.
It looked pretty good. I mean, it's a Western-type show, right?
Yeah, Union Pacific Railroad construction.
No.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to give it a try one day.
I think Zell was a big fan of that back in the day.
Was he?
Oh, no way. He says, it's okay, Vikings is better.
Oh, all right. Well, good. All right.
Jams 03.
Next up, we have the Asylum Home Entertainment Hercules Reborn.
Oh, good.
You got Brett Ratner's Hercules coming up, so they've got to quickly squeeze one out.
Disappointed!
And drop it like it's hot.
Squeeze it out. Makes it sound like a turd.
Yeah, well, really?
I'm ready to seriously, like, tear it up.
I love that the cover is starring WWE's John Morrison.
Oh, that guy, huh?
I want to eat corn out of my turd.
Wow. I need to pick this up. John Morrison.
I've seen the commercial for Hercules, with The Rock, and I was like, you know what? Might be... No, it's going to suck.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
Your turtle was a turd. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What was it? I think I was sitting in the theater. I think it was Regal. It was the shitty Dirt Mall theater before I saw Edge of Tomorrow at like 10 o'clock at night. And they had a featurette thing with The Rock and Brett Ratner talking about Hercules. And I was like, wow, this just looks terrible. So, I mean, and I've tried not to judge movies upon you know, first viewing, but there's so much going against this thing that I can't even give it the benefit of the doubt.
Duh.
Yeah. All right, moving on. We have Orphan Black Season 2 on Blu-ray. I begrudgingly watched the first season of Orphan Black.
Didn't that come out a couple of weeks ago? I swear you covered this already.
Really?
Maybe not.
Maybe I did. Maybe I'm brain farting.
Maybe you brought up Orphan Black.
I probably brought it up in the fact that so many people talk about how great it is, and I just can't stand it.
My mother-in-law loves that show, and she's always telling me to watch it.
I just can't. After the first season, and everybody, you know, I respect the actress. She plays, you know, basically a clone of a million different people.
Right, right.
And she's a really good actress. Each clone has their own personality, but I just don't like the actress. I don't know what it is about her that I don't like.
Why
it's
don't you
terrible.
Like
but
she might be a nice
I just don't like her.
She might be a really nice person.
Yeah. It's kind of like my mom's irrational hatred for William Shatner.
Release the Kraken.
Why does she hate William Shatner?
Dude, ever since I was a kid, he would come on the television, she'd just be like, I hate that asshole.
Blinking
he was like,
and beeping and flashing, and they're beeping, I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking her hatred for him. And I was like, what did he ever do to you?
Steven's hate of Will Ferrell?
Yes. Yeah. All right, moving on. We have Rio 2 3D.
Just kidding. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Sorry, Bill. What did you say?
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking.
Really? It's not that bad.
All right. Rio 2 in 3D on Blu-ray.
Excellent. Emma loved Rio, and we should buy Rio 2 in 3D. Check
and
it out.
This is one of those releases where I'm going down through, and it's like Target exclusive with plush toy, Walmart exclusive with bracelet. Like, it's just each place has to have their own little exclusive.
I'm going below the belt.
Wow.
But strangely, the exclusives do not include the Blu-ray 3D.
Take it easy.
Oh, that's weird. They don't have like a tin or anything?
Yeah, no, it's like the Walmart, it's just the Blu-ray, DVD, digital
yeah.
HD, and
it's so sad.
Bracelet. Target, it's plush toy, Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy.
Excuse me?
Next we have Road to Paloma.
I thought you were going to say Perdition. It's like a new release.
Yeah, this is the Jason Momoa directed film.
All right, guys, let's hit the road.
It's a intense road movie.
Oh, intense,
yes.
Huh?
And Momoa plays Wolf, a Native American on the run after avenging his mother's murder.
Dave, that's intense.
Yeah, and he even put his wife in it, Lisa Bonet.
Lisa Bonet.
I know. Lisa Bonet. Bonet.
Or, as we all know her, as Denise Huxtable, right, Steven?
Yes. Yeah, I thought she was...
Three.
I thought she was married to Lenny Kravitz.
A long time ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
I guess she got tired of him. Moved
she got
on.
Sick of that, why are you going to go my way song?
Yeah, I think all of us did. No, I'm not going your way, and I'm not your American woman. Shut up.
Cute.
Leave me alone. Next, we have Scanners on Blu-ray from Criterion Collection.
Whoa, Scanners. Holy shit. There was a Scanners joke last night in Sharknado.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, they show Shark's head blow up, and they go, Scanners shark style or something. I forget what it said.
Hey, way to go, guys. That's good. That's good writing there. Yeah, Scanners is the movie I remember the most because I was a kid and my dad had rented it, and it was the scene that table where the guy's head just explodes, and I was scarred for a while. You do not rent a David Cronenberg film and show it to your 6-year-old son.
No. Oh yeah, it's a scanning something. Yeah, I remember seeing this when I was a little kid, and you know what? The movie's actually not bad. Everyone knows it for that head explosion, but it's a very interesting movie. These people have powers and shit, you know?
Yep. They're alphas.
Yeah, they're alphas. And it's got a very confusing ending, though.
Okay.
It's been so long since
The good guy versus Michael Ironside. And do you remember what happens? Let me just spoil the ending here. No, I won't, but you're not sure what exactly happened. You kind of have to have it explained to you by your parents. At least that's what happened to me.
I'm going to have to watch it because I haven't seen it since seeing the head explode as a kid. This is not a movie I'm familiar with.
It's a very cool movie. Everybody's got powers or some shit or something.
I like powers.
There you go. Powers.
And you know that Michael Ironside's always good, right? Remember
oh,
him but, as,
yeah, well, please.
He was
yeah.
Overdog in Space Hunter. Come on.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you dug that one out.
That's a classic, man.
That is, man. Wow. Okay, and finally, on Blu-ray and DVD this week, we have an acclaimed film, Under the Skin, with Scarlett Johansson, or Scarlett Johansson.
Under the Skin, huh?
Yes, this is where she's disguised as a human. She's an extraterrestrial named Laura. And comes from her home planet in search of earthly beings to send back to her employer. Arriving in Scotland, she seeks out lonely hitchhikers to seduce, but can she keep her true identity hidden forever? This is really, it's kind of heady in the way it was directed. It was kind of guerrilla style, and it's a Jonathan Glazer film, and a lot of people said it's like, It's a sci-fi, it's a hard sci-fi movie.
It's like a cerebral sci-fi type of something.
Exactly. And this is, it's probably best known for the fact that Scarlett Johansson is like super duper nude through most of it.
If you ask me one more stupid question, I'll tear your skin off!
Okay. Yeah, so she just kind of, there's scenes where she's full nakedness and, a lot of people like to see Scarlett Johansson naked.
Huh. I wonder who those people are and why.
Yeah, I don't get it. Honestly, yeah. It's just one of those things.
There's a good chance you'll see me naked.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to seeing this. I was going to rent it. Maybe I'll buy it. I've been waiting for a while to see it. I've missed screenings and whatnot. So, yep. Going to check this one out and I'm going to keep my pants on. Sorry.
What?
I'm just going to leave that alone.
Wait, didn't catch that? What?
Yeah, I'm not looking at that one.
Oh, okay.
Because that just kind of came out, and I should have kept it in. And
self-edited?
I'm
Yeah.
I have no
what's a draw.
Ability
to... in your head.
Yeah. And that's, and on that note, that was DVDs and Blu-rays for this week.
Okay.
I got to keep my hands on.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Woo!
It's phallic and vaginal all at the same time.
Yeah.
No, it's not. What is he talking about?
Good Lord.
I think he has a problem.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see
Alright, everyone, that was episode 296 of Entertainment Landfill. And I wanted to thank Emma for that music selection there.
That's catchy. I like it.
I was, I was trying to put an intro together really fast, and she was like, Dad, I always wanted you to use the music from Lab Rats, the show she watches on Disney. And I was like, okay, let me look it up on YouTube. And of course, everything's on YouTube. And I found it. So I use that for her.
I was hoping they would drop the bass.
Hell yeah. Did you guys like that?
Now the song's going to be in my head all night.
Everyone, please look into your heart and go. I don't know what to say. Go to patreon.com/landfill and check out the
arms of an angel.
You can become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Come on. How awesome would that be? Bill, we really do need people to be patrons.
We seriously do.
For the price of a cup of coffee.
These
three guys.
If you enjoy the show, please patronize us.
Yeah. We even had an episode called Patronize Us. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And this is a part of the show where we do the Patreon shout-outs.
It's time for the Romper Room mirror thing.
Heck yes, it is. Let's thank our patrons this week. Let's thank Brian and Adam from the Bay Area, Rick Lidster. Man, we haven't heard from him in a while. No voicemails from Rick.
Man, he's busy.
Yeah, he must be busy. We also have Marvin, Michael, Sean Yu, Sean Uyoka. Come on, he doesn't mind.
The master of film.
Yeah, now why are you calling him that? I noticed you called him that on Facebook.
Because he received a master's in film.
Uh-huh. See, it's good you explain things for people so they know.
He's a degreed filmmaker.
Very cool.
We're going to see great things from Sean.
I know. I can't wait. He must put references to the show in his films. I think.
Oh my God. Yes. And invite us to premieres.
I'd like to thank John Waltz. He got married recently. Congratulations to you.
Awesome.
Also Hodor. Keep Hodoring around.
Criminy.
Jason P. Ken P. Who I talked to him and we'll be, we need to figure out when these certain people would be on the show, but we're going to work that all out.
Okay.
But also Kelly M., Jenny, Tom B., Tom Bickmore, check out his game reviews on videogamer.com and plug in that. And he's a great patron. Also,
put a link in the Facebook page for it.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I'll do it in the show notes, too. So I don't even know. I make these intricate show notes, like, every episode since forever. And I always wondered, does anyone actually click on any of this?
I would hope so.
I do it out of habit. I can't not do it now. Because I'm so used to it. You know what I used to do back in the day also? Whenever I put out an episode, this is back in the heyday of podcasting. You know, like there were podcast forums everywhere. Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, Podcast Podcatcher, Pod Sigabuku. They all had forums where announce your show. Every time I do a show, I'd log into all of these forums and post new show released. And I would put it in there. And I wondered if anyone ever saw those and ever listened to the show or if it was just a waste of time. Because, I mean, I seriously, it took me hours to do it all, Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
And I need to start doing that again. Oh, wait, they
That's
don't
dedication.
Have podcasting forums.
Yeah,
anymore.
How many are there left?
Not many. I don't even think Podcast Alley has a working one, but Sruly, let's thank him. Adam Sexton. Carl Slade B. Like I have to say his last name, Slade. There's no one else named Slade.
Man, that's awesome. That's a great name.
Brandon Kelly B. Sly Ross Pogney.
Oh, come on.
Well, what is it, Bill?
Pogney.
I was thinking Pogs. Remember those little round cardboard things?
Oh, man. I got a box somewhere in a landfill with those.
Yeah, when are we going to dig up the old Pog in the landfill? Yeah,
exactly. Where's the legendary Pog landfill?
Remember I had to make that Pog game table at MJ's?
Yes.
When we worked there. They had those half-barrel
It was a long time ago.
Wine barrels.
On a break. I founded MJ Designs Pog commercial on YouTube.
That's the only MJ commercial on
YouTube, and it cracked me up.
Was that the thing where you had to, like, you had to flip a slammer? Yeah. And then wherever it landed, you got that pog or something?
I don't even remember anymore how they played it. You slammed it down on other pogs. If it flipped them off of the mat, those were yours or something.
Wow, that's
kind of
really
like a weird, convoluted version.
Check this out.
Right here, we have the hot new Pog Milk Camp game.
That guy's an asshole.
And you can get everything you need to play here at MJ Designs.
What the hell is with that voice?
Well, first you stack a bunch of these Pog Milk Caps and then you slam them with one of these. Here, let me demonstrate.
It's a slammer.
I've got my own special slammer.
I think that guy belongs in the slammer.
MJ Designs slammer. If you're in the Pog, you're in the MJ Designs.
That's where Steven and I worked. Hey, before I forget, I want to thank Bill L.
That guy's an asshole, honestly.
That guy's great. I'm going to have him over to my house later, Bill.
Oh, really?
Is that a mistake? Should I
know? I think it is. He's a troublemaker.
Mike M., Paul W.P., Nathena, Rob B., I believe he said I could use the name, Rob Bickmore. Thank you very much.
Sweet.
Sam A., Terry F., Michael Kylie, love that guy, from Ireland. I can say his name right, Bill?
Yeah.
Andy Sims, Mark Anderson, Swiley, and John Francois, who had a birthday recently, and we wish him happy birthday. But all you guys, thank you very much. Thank you for being patrons. If you want to be a patron, patreon.com/landfill. We love it. Join the family. One of us.
One of us. Google gobble. One of us.
Thank you guys very much. Also, go to etlandfill.com. You can find links to our archive. Listen to all of our old shows. You can find Bill, Steven, and I on Twitter. Mulberry Bill, The J-Strom, and PCZ Steven. Also, follow ET Landfill on Twitter because you can find announcements like when new stuff has come out on the Patreon page, especially.
Yes, and remember to retweet ET Landfill.
Oh, yeah, big time. I love Glenn is really good about retweeting.
Glenn's the best.
Also, Mike Chinstroker. He always retweets me. So does Hannah.
Yeah, they're great. And now they've got little Chinstroker there, little Chloe, and yeah, I hope that everything's going well, getting some sleep.
She'll get a Twitter account and then retweet me too.
That'll be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Woohoo! So thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. What do you guys say? Be cool? Do you guys want to do this again? Maybe again?
Maybe in a week's time.
Let me think about it.
Guys, we're approaching 300. We got to keep going. We got to keep rolling towards 300. Good things will happen, I think.
What episode is this?
This is 296.
Bill's trying to decide if he's going to be here at the time of 300.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Not quite, unless we just did really quick.
That might be something. We might have to do something for episode 300 while I'm down there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know how to do my job.
Oh. Don't ever tell Joe what to do.
I won't tell you what to do either.
Yeah, okay.
It's phallic and vaginal all at the same time.
Yeah. Now, that's just gross.
Yeah, what is that guy taking
it? Take it easy.
Calm down.
It's hermaphrodite references.
Oh, awesome. Now, guys, if you haven't yet, check out our Star Wars show. Woohoo! The Sale of Star Wars, where we talk endlessly about and speculate everything about Star Wars and all those Star Wars rumors that annoy the hell out of us. We bring them up and actually talk about them. Right?
And we all figured out this week that it's actually Admiral Akbar who's the main character in the new Star Wars trilogy.
A homicide.
Really?
Yep, it's all about traps.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I got nothing.
It's a trap!
No, wait, Bill, say that joke again.
I don't even remember how I said it. It's not worth repeating.
All right, everybody.
See you next time. It's 12:15 a.m.
It's getting loopy.
All right, everyone. Bye, Bill. Bye, Steven. Later.
Bye, Bill.
Bye, chat room. Later.
I don't want to hear any more. Nothing.
Mentos. They're the fresh maker.
Now this is podcasting.
Boner Jams 03.
A vagina.
It's phallic and vaginal all at the same time.
Yeah.